Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Greetings, Zombling, Wigger, and Mamzer, and sundry ass clowns across the fruited and nutted Zog Plain in the coast-to-coast open-air nuthouse that we call Zog Babylon. Welcome. And also to the few of you, the poor, poor, pitiful few, us remnants, us happy few, us band of brothers, greetings as well. Now, there's not very many people who I consider among the remnants here, of all the people who do go ahead and listen to this particular show, but it's time to go ahead and put the show on the road, and actually, I'm about 2 minutes earlier than usual. The MediaCom connection is working pretty good. Only got booted off of TalkShoe once, which was more than I usually happens. Usually I get booted off a couple times. This is the Movement Turret episode number 30, and the time is August 8, 2010, and right now it's 10:14 Central Standard Time. And the title of this is called A Revised, Not-So-Brief History of the Bowel Movement. Now, a few things have gone ahead, and I'm going to go ahead and quickly go to, the latest news that I've heard. And the news is about the Reverend Mongoloid Hardy, who's Woden's only living prophet that lived, and also the one who taught all the good Zogling Wiggers to just simply give it up and worship themselves. That's what they need to do. And my sock puppet, and also Mongoloid Hardy's first cousin, John Q. Wigger, has pretty well taken over as Pontifex Maximus Flutimus of the First Church of Wigger Solipsism, i.e. worshiping yourself. And let's look and see what the Reverend Mongoloid Hardy has to say. Okay, let me go ahead and get rid of that particular little pop-up window. Okay. From what I gather, the Mongoloid Hardy decided that he'd been tortured enough by 15 months in solitary confinement. And just four days ago, from the Pittsburgh, PA Post-Gazette, on Wednesday, August 4th, it said, a self-proclaimed white supremacist who praised the killing of three Pittsburgh Eagle-Eyes officers encouraged more of the same was sentenced to 30 months in prison Tuesday on federal firearms charges. Now, so much for Congress shall not interfere with the right to go ahead and keep and bear arms. But then again, Zog has always lied like the Zog pigs that they've always been. But essentially, he got raided just less than, about a month and a half after he went ahead and praised this Polak kid named Poplowski for thinking that Obongo was going to go ahead and take away his guns or something like that. And essentially, Poplowski went ahead and plugged three little pigs, bang, 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 just like that. No saying or nothing like that. Showed the pigs in some cases. When you get them lined up just right, and if you keep a steady hand, why, hey, it's harder to kill three sheep. He went ahead and blasted the three little pigs and then held them off with an AK-47. Now, Mongoloid Hardy? Nope. Mongoloid Hardy, the only critter he's ever shot was some cougar named Lori Hahn or something like that. But going on, Hardy Lloyd, 32, of Crafton, pleaded guilty to possession of a firearm by a convicted felon in April. He was arrested May 29th after state probation officers received a tip from an FBI agent who saw a photograph of Mr. Lloyd posted on his blog in which he was holding a rifle. Okay, Mongoloid, you sort of screwed up by screaming and whining and hollering about how you ought to go kill more pigs. I agree with you. You ought to kill more pigs, but the thing about it is that you're a convicted felon, and there's not too much love for you because you went ahead and shot a cougar in the face. There was no reason for you to shoot some Wigger cougar just wanting to suck your dick. But he went ahead and shot her in the face for no good reason because he's nuts. But state probation officers received a tip from an FBI agent. Well, could have been anybody. FBI agent, anybody who'd seen a photograph of Hardy Lloyd or Mr. Lloyd Hardy. Let me see. Hardy Lloyd. Okay. It depends on what. I thought his name was Lloyd Hardy, but I call him Mongolor. Reverend Mongolor Hardy. During a May 27, 2009 search of his home, probation officers found 10 weapons. Mr. Lloyd was prohibited from having firearms because he was on probation for a 2004 case in which he was accused of killing a female acquaintance, Lori Hahn. Well, he just went ahead and shot this old cougar right in the face here. She was 41, he was, what, 24 or so? I mean, there was really no sense to it. But he spent some time in the nut house, and then his dad, who was a pretty good surgeon in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, hired a pretty good lawyer and got him off with murder. Although he was found to have acted in self-defense. Well, you got to wonder, how can somebody act in self-defense pulling a gun on some woman who answered an internet dating thing and shooting her right in the head? I mean, what in the world did he think she was going to do that he didn't want her to do? Anyway, Mr. Lloyd was found guilty of illegally possessing a firearm. See, that's pretty well what the jury did. They found him guilty of illegally possessing a firearm. He didn't get convicted of what he should have been convicted, i.e., killing some woman for no good reason. Rather, some little gun law bullshit which shouldn't have been in the place he got found guilty of. He was sentenced to 11 and a half to 23 months in jail to be followed by 3 years probation. Well, looks like his probation is over then, right? Mr. Lloyd's therapist, Anthony Mastriolani, sounds like some Sicilian Jew wop, who's been treating him for 10 years, told the court Tuesday his patient had Asperger's syndrome. He believed Mr. Lloyd has made significant progress in his treatment over the past year, is now functioning about the age level of a 10th grader. Bunny Mongoloid claims to have a 200 IQ. So he's acting like a slightly sophomoric retard who has about a 90 IQ or so. Anyway, you got to wonder, how can he make significant treatment progress in his treatment over the past year? He's been locked up for the past, since May 27th. 2009. So if he's been locked up since May 27, he pled guilty. He'd been locked up during the last year. That's where he made the significant progress. Sounds so screwy to me. Defense attorney John Knorr asked the judge to recommend Mr. Lloyd be imprisoned in a facility close to Pittsburgh so he could continue treatment with Mr. Mastrioni. Well, we got to go ahead and feed these psychiatrists, don't we? He faced an advisory guideline sentence of 24 to 30 months. Assistant Attorney Margaret Pickering told the judge she believed Mr. Lloyd was a danger to himself and others. He exhorted others to commit acts of violence, she said, referring to his blog. Others have tried through his entire life to rehabilitate him and all have failed. Look, bitch, it don't really matter what he says on his blog. You're supposed to go ahead and have, supposedly First Amendment rights on the Bill of Goods to say whatever the hell you want to say. But, this stupid U.S. attorney, this evil bitch, thinks that the very foundation of her rule is some sort of little contract to be ignored whenever she feels convenient. That's why the bitch ought to really be skinned out. Or in the case of prosecuting attorneys, I'd be hung by a special rope made from the intestines of her children and her parents and her husband and the rest of these people. That's what Theodoric the Great used to do with his, policy regarding people who made false complaints and false accusations. And that's what an assistant U.S. attorney does, carry out the role of Satan under Satan's administration for making false accusations, sort of like Edgar Steele. Senior U.S. District Judge Gustav Diamond called the guns found at Mr. Lloyd's home a small arsenal. Well, okay. How big is a small arsenal? couple blocks of 22 ammunition, 22 rifle, whatever. Whatever happened to where there's a Second Amendment right to go ahead and hold stuff in your house? See, Mr. Lloyd, all he did was just go ahead and post a bunch of crap on his blog. And I've seen Mr. Lloyd's blog. I've seen his podcast. We'll get into that in a minute. He has made expressions that indicate a potentially violent character, the judge said. A potentially violent character? He has made expressions that indicate a potentially violent character? So? Whether he's accurately reflected his inner nature, whether he would act out those statements, I believe he is a potential danger to himself and others. So in short, the U.S. judge goes ahead and says the same thing the U.S. prostituting attorney told the judge. So sure, you end up having two lawyers who are pretty well fighting with everybody else, and then the lawyer, and probably Mongoloid didn't have to go ahead and have a public pretender, sort of like the Wigger Whimper Edgar Steele does. Go on. In addition to his prison term, Judge Diamond also ordered Mr. Lloyd to serve 3 years on supervised release. During that time, as part of the plea agreement, Mr. Lloyd is not permitted to have any type of website. What in the world, Judge? Do you have a right to go ahead and say that as a result of being convicted on these bogus claims, which are violative of the Second Amendment to the Bill of Goods, do you have a right to go ahead and deter any defendant from going ahead and expressing his First Amendment to the Bill of Goods? And the answer of it is these judges, they don't obey the Constitution, the Bill of Goods. It's just something that they go ahead and do whatever the hell they want to. Now, let me just say this. Well, I'm going to go ahead and go on. Mongoloid Hardy, actually, Breckenridge Elkins, who is the moderator or one of the administrators, is stumbling his run sort of like ancient Sparta. Essentially, you end up having two kings who have two different heads, and they have all sorts of little notions of how to do it. And as a result, you prevent tyranny by the Spartan method of having two kings and by the Roman Republic method of having two consuls, to where you end up having two heads, and if they have a disagreement with each other, they pretty well can bring things to a standstill. But Breckenridge Elkins made old cousin Mongoloid, cousin to John Q. Wigger, one of the moderators. And Mongoloid Hardy, while he can go ahead and rant and rave and scream pretty good on his podcast, Mongoloid is not very good at writing anything. Mongoloid just had he came up with 126 mod dick posts in about 36 hours. And then somebody, I think it was his wife, his wife actually loved him. I went ahead and seen something to where Mongoloid has been put pretty well in solitary confinement ever since he got arrested. Not allowed to have any contact with anybody, and probably Mongoloid figured out is that, shoot, there is no sense in me going ahead and spending this time in jail on this setup in the county jail. I'd rather go to Club Fed to where, hey, everybody knows I'm a nut, but I'm not really a racist nut. I mean, people don't really like me that much in the bowel movement. And let me see. You need a talk shoe listen box in the forum like StumbleIn has? Well, I probably need a number of things. But essentially, if talk shoe is working, I'm ahead of the game. And what happens is it's working pretty good tonight. So I'm not going to go ahead and complain. See, folks, I do go ahead and look at the chat while I'm going through this sort of thing. And let me see. Do a quick copy. All righty. Do a quick copy, and yeah, I sort of got this thing working okay, folks. So, let me see, where was I? Alright, anyway, looking, with Cousin Mongoloid, what happens is the First Amendment and the Second Amendment to the Bill of Goods so-called rights, which are different more than scraps of paper to be pissed and shat upon by regime criminals who claim that they have a legitimate government based upon these constitutional rights. Cecil was ignored. But anyway, John Q. Wigger has done what old Mongoloid did when Reverend Matt Hill has come in. Because the Mongoloid has decided to go ahead and make him Puntus Excludimus Maximus Solipsimus of the Church of the Eternal Solipsistic Wigger. Because what happens is Reverend Mongoloid Hardy, or Hardy Mongoloid, when Matt Hale was sent to prison, he decided that he was going to be part of Vex Maximus, and he didn't really mind because, well, hey, he was tough. He was tough, tough, tough. And what he did is that he looked like a total wigger with hair, so he went ahead and shaved his hair, and looked like a skinhead. So now he's, instead of looking like a fat wigger, he looks like a fat skinhead. Now, I don't know if he's grown his hair while he's been in solitaire illegally. That's the way Zog treats you, is that they go ahead and they show you how tough you are by just going ahead and putting you in solitaire. That's what they did to me for, six, 7 months while I was waiting the trial. And finally, I went ahead and convinced them that, hey, open at least the bean hole, rather than keep, so I could go ahead and play chess with the other inmates and talk to them or something like that. And they went ahead and agreed to it. But supposedly you're not supposed to go ahead and keep anybody in solitary confinement over 2 weeks because it goes ahead and causes psychological damage. And here's a psychiatrist saying that the last year of imprisonment has helped him immensely by solitary confinement. I guess that's true if you understand that old Mongoloid Hardy is only able really to live with himself. But anyway, Mongoloid Hardy, after Matt Hale got thrown in jail, he claimed he was Pontifex Maximus. And then all the other creators wanted to be Zaff. So what he did is he decided to become Warden's only prophet, living prophet that lived. And then later on, he decided to go ahead and just simply cut out the middleman. He was going to go ahead and worship himself. And that's what I urged last week when Mona Montcumare and Hanning the Loveless Meerkat Matroid was there. And looking back at the chat transcript, I believe old Hanning and Mona were there. Now, they never did go ahead and sign up for Christian National Forum like I invited them to. And the answer of it is that they're just little meerkats. All they can do is say, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true. Whenever you go ahead and accuse, they accuse either the Roid Rage retard, whatever they're hooking up to, or William Pierce of doing a number of things. And they never showed up. I didn't think they would, and they never did call in. So you don't take these meerkats and the rest of them seriously. But getting on there, John Q. Wigger has decided to go ahead and take over for the Reverend Mongoloid Hardy while he's in the, while he's in the camp. So he says, Sob, cousin the Reverend Mongoloid Hardy, former Pontifex Maximus Glutimus, Warden's only living prophet that lived, and leader of the United First Church of Solipsism, who taught us all, some better than others, C.F. Mona Montcumare, to cut out the middleman and worship ourselves. Jew lagged after nearly 15 months in the hole, tortured into taking a plea bargain. They pulled the same shit against this 200 IQ super genius holy man trying to teach all us Wiggers how to live only for ourselves. You see, John Q. Wigger, he's related to the white man's, like he said, and he said, the world knows us Wiggers living because if it wasn't for us Wiggers, the white man's would have taken over a long time ago. And what happens to John Q. Wigger? He's trying to become a white man, but he just knows he's just a Wigger because that's his name. I mean, he's a Wigger. As they gilded away poor cousin Reverend Mongoloid's First Amendment to the Bill of Goods, alienated the inalienable right to tell us all to shoot our inner and outer cougar, wanting to suck our precious manly bodily essence, as opposed to leaving them in a mayonnaise jar in the refrigerator, like Julian Lee, over 4 bags, does now that Miracle Whip is over $8 per gallon at Sam's. Now, I'm being the first to admit that Cousin Mongoloid wasn't the best of writers during his day and a half stay at Stumbling as moderator. But his podcasts were full of incoherent hate and rage and that sort of stuff, wherein this holy man of solipsism be shout out as inner wigger, become the high priest of solipsism. He loved niggers and beaners as much as Wiggers, and that's was wrongfully accused of racism. The guns that he stored but never used, why, they will never be given to those like James Von Brunt to kill innocent niggers guarding the Jew Holy Oaks Museum, shot in the back by panicky fellow niggers. Another arsenal of guns, not Jews, against Zog. Shades of Trainer Glenn Miller. Well, because Trainer Glenn Miller, he had a whole arsenal of guns, and not a single nigger or Jew or anything here. Not even a Whigger went ahead and bit the big one. Even though he declared war on Zog, whereas James Von Brunn just showed up with a .22 and at least a nigger falls dead. Now, probably not shot by James Von Brunn, probably shot by panicky niggers, in the back, and that's probably what ended up happening. Zog didn't want to go ahead and risk digging out the 38 caliber slugs and then claiming that, well, maybe James Von Brunn didn't go ahead and kill the nigger. Now this would have happened before the cousin Mongoloid hadn't shot that cougar in the face dead. Why? The world of Whiggerdom needs more cocksucking Whigger cougars. That's Y and D and F of C, which means young and dumb and full of cum. Whigger roosters need experienced all hands to give us cheap thrills. Otherwise, we waste so much time on these forums when we should be doing something useful, like getting off a nut. Why, I'd have shot poor old Roy in the face with something, count on it, but not with a .38. Although I think he shot it with a .380. We need to be nice to Whigger cougar skanks, who never swell, never tell, and are grateful as hell. Why, I love Whigger cougars. Cousin Rubber Mongoloid fucked the pooch on that one when he could have fucked the cougar instead. For someone with a 200 IQ, cousin the Reverend Mongoloid already acts a lot like the mumps nutted, niglet niece loving, 250 pounds of dog shit and 150 pound sack, 85 IQ on a good day, clown of Klein Niglechester, Meyer Bill the Clueless. Hey, Liar Bill, call in, make a plug for Pisser's pussy parlor. Bill Priest of Sibylline does some really, really stupid shit. Then he gets his tail all caught in a crack. Well, for him, for 30 months. Now, the good thing about it is that, the 15 months of it, they've already served in the hole. They'll probably be taking off from it here. I sure hope that cousin the Reverend Mongoloid Hardy doesn't accept no psychiatric help, especially from a Watt Jew. Them Jew head shrinker quacks for sure are fucked up in the head. Well, now that cousin the Reverend Mongoloid Hardy is going to be locked down in the Jewlag, time for me to pull a Reverend Mongoloid Hardy on the Reverend Mongoloid Hardy. Yep, that's right. I'm now the High Priest of Solipsism. All of you, my fellow zoggling, wigger-ass clowns out there who are not spending all of your free time worshiping yourself, need to start worshiping me. As my first command, no wigger male shall be shooting no more wiggerous cougars in the face with firearms or any destructive device that kills wiggerous cougars. We need to love and to love and to love our wiggerous cougars, especially them who can suck a golf ball through a garden hose on a first date and hose them down in holiness. Hail ourselves, John Q. Wigger, Pundifex, Ludimus, Maximus, Solip, Sissimus. Sometimes I wonder here. And this little thing is called solipsism. It's my only reality. And it goes to this thing that I went ahead and wrote called Cult of the Me God way back in 1996. So join me and cousin the Reverend Mongoloid Hardy. Cut out the middleman and worship yourself here. Anyway, John Q. Wigger has a point here. If you're going to go ahead and be a Wigger, you might as well be a Wigger all the way. Just don't be half-assed Wigger or anything here. I mean, be all that you can be. Well, Which goes ahead and reminds me that somebody got this thing right here. Well, the SPLC already got something up on old Mongoloid, or anyway, I've been wondering, and the only thing I heard, and I went ahead and mentioned it a little while back ago. Was that Mongoloid's problem was that Mongoloid has quite a bit of problems. They screwed up in the head. But Mongoloid's problem is that he probably wouldn't have been in trouble if he wouldn't have shot this Whigger cougar named Lori in the first place. That seems reasonable to me. Don't shoot somebody you ought to be shooting in the first place. You got to wonder. I don't know if old Mongoloid Hardy was married or not. But from what I gather, his wife is pretty loyal to him, and she, you know, she just didn't want really knowing that he was pretty well just being screwed over. So, in any case, Mongoloid is being screwed over unlawfully. And how he's being screwed over unlawfully is that supposedly he's supposed to have constitutional rights that are inalienable. Now, nobody really should believe that stupid crap, especially when Zog alienates them all the time. But what happens is that what I think we need to do, what I think we need to do is we need to go ahead and sing the founding song of Zogling Wiggerdom. Yes, that's it here. We need to go ahead and get around any time we can, have plenty of excuse for Dave Balls and, you know, my version also here, you know, me and the Balzer, we're going to go ahead and sing the founding, you know, the founding hymn of Zogling Wiggerdom here. Okay, folks? All right, let me go ahead and get this thing ready. All right, hold on. Hold on. Well, shoot, the thing don't seem to want to work. Come on, you. Video not found? No, oh, it should be found. Come on. I don't want to mess with the YouTube, with the YouTube version of it, but I guess I'll have to. Shoot, I wanted to go ahead and save it. Okay, well, let me see. Well, I guess I'm going to have to go ahead and use... guess I'm going to have to go ahead and use the shitty YouTube version of it. Okay, let me see. Well, let's see. Come on, you. You can get it to working. Science, we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Till the cross up to the top. The way wiggers run it to and fro, and they're always easy to drop. I wake up and right away, stupid wiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Fill the trough up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy to drop. Wiggers keep remembering the way Zog used to be. Getting caught on a long gone, faded Zogling memory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers don't go to the top. The way wiggers run to and fro. And they're always easy flop. The way wiggers run to and fro. And they're always easy flop. You know, folks, I went ahead and bought me a little MP3 player to go ahead and replace the Philips CD MP3 player that I had. And as a result, I'm able to go ahead and download and listen to my thing here. Well, I'm getting better. Well, I'm glad the old Hattie showed up. Hattie, how come you haven't showed up to Christian Nationalist? You need to go ahead and show up, Hattie. You know what I mean? In any case, Lloyd Hardy probably, he might very well be a Zogbot by now. The thing about it is, nobody trusts him here. Everybody wants to beat his ass, and it doesn't really pay to be a zoggling, zoggling wigger ass clown, Zogbot, when everybody wants to beat your ass. Of course, that's why old Judas Roid Rage Retard Giles, he's sort of getting on the outs things here. And Henning, I mean, shoot, you really need to go ahead and find you a stronger. You need to go ahead and find you a stronger strong man to be the meerkat of. You really do. Now, the whole purpose of that, you know, Henning, you really do need to go ahead and show up at Christian National Forum here, because, don't you feel sort of betrayed the way that old Roid Rage Retard went ahead and Julag your buddy Wiggerswill? What happens is that let's say you go ahead and just pretend to be a Christian or Christian identity. You know, just go ahead and tell us that you've changed. You become a edumacated new Wigger. And as a result, you no longer believe in creativity or cosmetology or anything like that. You want to go ahead and become a 10,000 warlord here. You want to go ahead and believe in Christian identity because it allows polygamy. You want to go ahead and have you lots and lots and lots of that regime criminal wigger pussy. Well, hey, that way you could go ahead and having, well, I don't know about the biggest name here. What happens is Hattie makes a pretty good little meerkat. I mean, he makes a very sort of loyal meerkat here, just, you know, sort of lifts his little nose stuck in both Wigger Squills and Roid Rage Retard's nether orifices here with a little head bobbing out, you know, this is a little, and see if you can't go ahead and get old Motor on there too here. Motor, I think, should be really the high priestess here. After John Q. Wigger, she should be the high priestess of the First Church of Solipsism, because she's very good at solipsism. I mean, Motor is. So what happens is that abandon them false religions of cosmetology and creatorism and become, you know, follow John Q. Wigger as, you know, under the First Church of Solipsism here. And John Q. Wigger, he's sort of taking care of the Reverend Mongoloid Hardy while he's in jail here. And then 3 years after he gets out, he won't be able to have any web page or nothing. And I sort of thought he was outside of that little thing. And probably old Mongoloids already thought he was, but they decided to go ahead and tack on some extra bullshit and send poor old Mongoloid Hardy there. I mean, shoot, he ain't like old James Von Brenner, the Polack kid, and actually kill some niggers and pigs or do something useful. So, Hardy, he didn't create tardivity, but after Matt Hale got thrown in jail, he thought he wanted to be a creatard. He really did think he wanted to be a creatard, but the problem with, you know, being a little creatard, you know, and Puntifex Maximus Glutimus, is that all the other little creatards wanted to beat the shit out of little Mongoloid Hardy, and they just thought he was a big fat fart. I mean, even though he looks like a total wigger, You know, and he looks a lot like John Q. Wigger. Like John Q. Wigger says, he's a spitting image of Mongoloid Hardy, and whenever people tell him that, he steps back because usually people want to spit on the spitting image of Mongoloid, of cousin Mongoloid Hardy. But anyway, yeah, Hanning and, you know, Hanning and Mona, they really do need to go ahead and become, they need to join the first, you know, if they can't become Christian Identity, scratch that thing about being Christian Identity, pretend to be Christian Identity. They're not Warlord material. They're Meerkat material. So what they need to do is they need to join the first church of Creator Identity. well, what happens is that, Hanning and Motor, can go ahead and make here for life and, you know, become a, you know, go ahead and create a whole bunch of real Wigger orc-style Meerkat mixes here. Yep. Yep. They can go ahead and, I think if Lloyd Royce Retard really wants to go ahead and do it, cousin Mung, or John Q. Wigger will probably be happy to ordain, you know, Jim Giles, Lloyd Royce Retard, Judas Giles, as the first Archbishop of Missouri of the first Church of Solipsism, because, hey, they do got solipsism down pat here. Christian Identity is a bit of a stretch, but solipsism, I mean, it's sort of like teaching niggers to masturbate here. You don't need to. They got it all down pat. The thing about it is since they weren't taught to masturbate, every single Wigger thinks that he invented it. Yep. But in any case, well, he was Lib's only a living prophet to live, but I think the ass tourists wanted to beat his ass too. So he decided to go ahead and get into solipsism and just worship himself. So now he tells people that what you do is you worship yourself, but if you got some extra money, send to me, the Reverend Mongoloid Hardy. Well, people, if you want to go ahead and send your tithes here to the First Church of Solipsism, sooner or later, maybe Mongoloid Hardy's wife will go ahead and tell where old Mongoloid Hardy is staying, so you go ahead and don't slip him a file or nothing. Just go ahead and give him some commissary, so he can buy him some cheese doodles and cheese whiz and cheese crunchy here. Usually made from the O'Keefe Company from St. Louis. And that cheese crunchy will make you fat. So when we get done here, we'll have a 500-pound Pontifex Maximus Glutimus who can go ahead and resume his church after he gets out of jail here and after he's able someday maybe to go ahead and get back on the web and give us a 10,000 mod dick posts here over Stumble In or wherever. In any case, well, what happens is Mongoloid Hardy is the Reverend Mongoloid Hardy or Hardy Lloyd or whatever. Cousin Randy Turner, his name is Randy Turner, and Eulene is the sheep that both Cousin Swole Skulls Turner and Cousin Randy Turner used to hump when they were young here. You know, back when the world was newer. In any case, Cousin Swole Skump, he became a Klansman, and Cousin Randy became a glibber wigger butthole fag. I mean, think of Cousin Randy as sort of like you, Hanning. I mean, he's an intellectual. He's been educated. In any case, they are, no, what about my cousin? Swole Skump here. Well, what happens is if you go ahead and join Christian Nationalists, you'll go ahead and get to meet Cousin Randy and Cousin Swole Skump. And, I mean, I think you sort of should know who Swole Skump is and, you know, Cousin Randy, because you went ahead and responded to this call for a dog pack when Cousin Randy was bitching and moaning about this old Dutch bitch who had this Anne Frank, who kept Anne Frank up in her closet or something like that. And you did go ahead and post some pretty good posts, Hanning. I mean, Hanning, from Meerkat, you're pretty smart, really. You really are. You really are. And the thing about it is you're wasting yourself on Roid Rage Retard Giles here. Now, I don't really need a Meerkat, but what happens is you can say whatever the heck you want, a Christian Nationalist, if you want, and you can fight with Cousin Swillis, although Cousin Swillis is rather not somebody I'd want to mess with. But you can go ahead and be mean to Cousin Randy, who's a glibber wigger butthole fag, who was into journalism and into school teaching. and you can go ahead and make fun of them. But, you know, speaking of which, this whole thing here where you were bitching about, where you are bitching, where you were going ahead and, Well, John Q. Wigger, he's related to everybody in the bowel movement. He's related to the gut-sick Guido Weasel, Jew-ass cancer. He's probably even related to Judas Roid Rage Retard Giles. Because Judas Roid Rage Retard Giles, he's related to Corn Cob. Everybody. We're just one big, happy, dysfunctional family here in the bowel movement. Now, speaking of which, Roid Rage Retard for a few times was going to go ahead and take over for a brief history of the bowel movement. And Hadding was having a time bitching that Harold Covington lied about, 5 or 10 or 15 or 25% of the story. And I actually went ahead and looked as to where this thing came from. And guess what? Covington, what Covington has to say about Benny Buttfuck Klassen and William Pierce and all these people, that's a whole lot nicer than what Rick Cooper had to say about them. And in turn, Rick Cooper, who ran around in 1985 and investigated the matter in 1985, and pretty well, from what I gather, Covington's been saying this thing's been around for 5 or 6 years. No, I remember seeing it. Covington used to put the thing out in emails and on Yahoo groups before I went to the Nut House in 2005. So the thing has been running around under Covington's watch for about more like 6 or 7 years. But if you go ahead and look at it, the brief history of the bowel movement, was investigated by Director Rick Cooper of the National Socialist Vanguard in 1985. He was making the rounds. And I'm pretty well convinced, from what I gather, it got printed up in the National Socialist Vanguard sometime probably in the late 80s or early 90s before the Internet came around. Well, what happens is that we can go ahead and say what Rick Cooper has to say. In fact, what you're bitching about, we will cover tonight what Rick Cooper actually did go ahead and say. Okay? And yes, Covington has been updating with his own spin. But I actually looked at the Rick Cooper thing, and you know that before Cooper's brief history of the white nationalist movement, there was something called the DiGallo Report, which essentially said that everybody in the bowel movement was either a Jew or a Jew faggot. A Jew or a faggot or a Jew faggot. And essentially they went ahead and said the number of people who I know who are not Jews or are not faggots, like Gerhardt Brothers and William Pierce and Kurt Saxon. And to be honest with you, I sent an email to William Pierce way back in the 1998-1999, asking him to go ahead and reprint his text-based National Dissident Voices radio podcast. And for my gear, Dr. Pierce's secretary named Evelyn something or another sent me back an email, and pretty well what boiled down to is that, yes, I can go ahead and reprint Dr. Pierce's American Dissident Voices radio programs, provided I did not change any words, and I provide the link back to his National Alliance page. And I said, well, hey, that's no problem. And what I did is that I really didn't like the way it was formatted. It was just plain text files, so I went ahead and put it in HTML. And pretty well put a link, of course, my link. I went ahead and put a link back to where I found it. So, I didn't print every single one of them. I printed the ones that I liked the best here. And really, I never had any problem with William Pierce. And a lot of people who are bitching is that they're bitching because, hey, I'm an ally of Covington, by design. Hattie was bitching last week, Thursday, that essentially I had an out, you know, I got on the outs with Covington. And that did happen in 2001 to 2005. It did happen. What I got mad about was when Covington came out with Hill of the Ravens, where, hey, us Christian Dante were going to be used as cannon fodder. We were going to be given, what, Class C citizenship behind Covington's alpha Nutsies here. And pretty well, it got so bad that I ended up getting banned from Covington's, Yahoo forums. And one of his little sock puppets, what Ed claimed to be Martin Lindstedt, and was saying, George of the Jungle, you know, George of the Jungle, essentially pretend to be me. So, yeah, if anybody should be annoyed at Covington, it should be me. But last year, I went ahead and seen a number of things, and Covington has really settled down. And one of the things that settled him down was all this crap from his own relatives. Well, the Gallo report. See, Hadding knows all about this sort of thing. You know, Hadding does, you seem to have good sense that I lost it. Well, I lost it because I'm making fun of William Pierce. Thing about it is that Hadding has to have somebody that he looks up to and worships, and you can't be anybody who's Christian here. Hadding really worships himself here. Hadding is really a meerkat. He's a smart little meerkat, but he's just a meerkat. Thing about it is I've lost sense when I don't agree with Hadding over William Pierce. Now, the thing about Pierce is he got $400,000 from the order, and he was actually a better administrator of it than anybody else the order gave to. But the fact of the matter is I'm pretty well convinced that William Pierce was a Zogbot. They went ahead, and the FBI knew they got the money, allowed them to have the money in order to go ahead and keep track of the Nazis. William Pierce's Hillsborough is equivalent to the Christian Identity Elohim City. That's the same thing, same plan, or something like that. But anyway, you know, Hadding, if you want to go ahead and argue about the matter, you can go ahead and argue, or you can go ahead and argue, of course, here on this forum. I don't really care. Well, it's not necessary to develop anti-Covington antibodies. What you do in this mild movement is you listen to everything that's going on. And what you do is you have to go ahead and pick and choose what the truth of the matter is. For yourself. If Hadden had his choice, he wouldn't be able to go ahead and allow a lot of this free speech to occur, but he doesn't have any choice in the matter. And I've given Hadding and Mona Montgomery a chance to go ahead and go over to my forum, and I don't think they're going to do that here. But they are certainly welcome, you know, on this podcast to say whatever the hell they want to. But anyway, Jim Giles was going to go ahead and claim ownership and try to change this. And pretty well, the name of this is a revised, not-so-brief history of the white nationalist movement. And this is post number 2450. And I pretty well put it on top of Covington's, what Covington ended up having to say. And I'm going to go ahead and put it over Stumble Inn and the Beer Barrel and probably Occidental, Original Descent. I mean, old Faye Hunter is pretty well, he's lost it. You know, he's lost it himself, too, and he's closed his forum for whatever reason. You know, the problem of it is all these intellectuals, they don't really like competing intellects going ahead and agreeing with it. But A Brief History of the White Nationalist Movement is a document that has been in various forms on the Internet for the better part of a decade. And like I said, looking at what it actually said, Rick Cooper admitted he was investigating it. I think he went ahead and printed it for a paper newsletter. Now, before the Internet came, I actually had my own political paper newsletter, the Southwest Missouri Libertarian. And same way did Cooper. And what you end up hearing is a story of back in the day of people stealing mailing lists in order to go ahead and get all the Whiggers, Mites, and the Geezer gelt from whoever could go ahead and get it. That's why David Duke is so despised, because in addition to screwing about everything and stealing his followers' funds and using them to gamble, he used to go ahead and sell Klan mailing lists, you know, to a number of people, anybody who'd go ahead and buy it. You know, people in the Klan were annoyed with him in 1996 for him selling to Mike Fowler, a Republican, who became governor in 1996. But anyway, this brief history of the white nationalist movement was actually authored by Rick Cooper. And from what I gather, Rick Cooper went ahead and looked at this DeGello report, which was, the date of it was 1976. You know, nearly, what, 35 years ago? 34 years ago? Something like that? And throughout every generation, or half generation, you end up having a number of these people go ahead and look and see that in this Bible movement of ours, it's just nothing but thieves and liars and con men. So I'm going to go ahead and put a copy of the DeGello report. The DeGello report was brought up initially by this character called, let me see, let me go ahead and click the little thing here. It was brought up initially, and it's on text here. It's by this Eric Schiffnet here. I don't know if Hadding knows about him or not. It's much better written than Covington's brief history. Well, obviously, you know, since you didn't go ahead and read, you went ahead and admitted that you didn't go ahead and read the thing at all, Hadding. You didn't read the part about William Pierce. The DeGello report actually says that Pierce is a homosexual. You know what I mean? Whereas Rick Cooper just simply said he wasn't a homosexual, but he was a coward. So you're saying the DeGello report was written better? I would think you'd think it'd be written worse. The thing about it is that I don't think Hadding has read the DeGello report, because the DeGello report was actually pretty much worse than what Rick Cooper had to say, and, you know, pretty well what Covington did, and he goes ahead and admits it, you know, he goes ahead and admits to it, is that what Covington did, he just added a portion about Trader Glenn Miller and Benny Klassen. And the thing about it is that everybody, okay, well, the thing about it is Hadding, I mean, Rick Cooper, at the time when he went ahead and printed it, he urged people to go ahead. If you have a problem with my investigation, call me up. Here's my address. Call me up. And the thing about it is, nobody calls him up. Okay? Now, I'm going to go ahead and reprint on this thread that, you know, what the DeGello report did. It was 40 pages. It was 40 pages of essentially fairly good, you know, of fairly good. And then the original thing that which got printed was not as good a shape here, just like most tabloid, you know, newspapers in the movement. Well, they're even less well-written. But from my guy, Rick Cooper did a very good job of it. He says, conclusion, lest some people get the wrong idea about this National Socialist Vanguard report and lose faith in the movement, we offer the following for consideration. This report is not a continuation of DeGello, which is an anonymous 54-page report published in the 1970s and which contained a mixture of truth and lies about many prominent people in the white nationalist movement at the time. There is nothing sneaky or anonymous in this report. Since we have nothing to hide, addresses are given without reservation or that anybody can contact those mentioned in this report to get another viewpoint. Should any of, quote, the clique levy attack on us, we expect our address to be run with the attack so that we may respond in turn. Attacking us fresh should be considered sinister with ulterior motives unless our address is given. It is our expectation that the clique will continue to remain silent, as they have in the past, which is something that suits us just fine, because future historians, authors, and researchers will only have us as their source of information. And he's right. Thing about this is that I'm the one who's going ahead and bringing this thing up. Now, what happens, Covington just added a little bit in the case of Benny Klassen and in the case of Trader Glenn Miller. What Trader Glenn Miller did happen mainly after 1985 when Rick Cooper was investigating this thing. I don't know when this thing was printed, but I would say it was printed in the late 80s, early 90s, and many cases Covington, and Covington admits this sort of thing. And that is what's true here, is that future historians, authors, and researchers will only have us as their source of information. That is what Rick Cooper said. And from what I gather, Rick Cooper is well respected within the Bow Movement. We ask that any published material about this NSD report, NSD, or its directors be brought to our attention. So essentially, Rick Cooper said, this is the way it is. This is the way I went ahead and looked at it firsthand. Some of these people were homosexuals. And the thing about it is that when you go ahead and ask, we went ahead and said what it was. Well, I mean, having you're sort of wrong in that he does go ahead and say that it is. The thing about it is, this report, the DeGello report, was true. The DeGello report came up with a bunch of crap, and it came up with a bunch of truth. What happens is Rick Cooper tried to go ahead and find out which it was. Okay? Okay, anyway. I'm looking at this sort of thing. Okay, Cooper did investigate Klassen. Well, that's probably true. Thing about this is that toward the end, it seemed like Klassen was trying to give away his little Jew-made church to everybody. Now, Hanning, I would think that you would be reading about Dr. Pierce. Because Dr. Pierce was one of the clique mentioned by Rick Cooper. Some of those portions, and I have not read the entire Cooper report. What I'm saying is that I'm going to go ahead and go to what Covington went ahead and said about this thing when it showed up. And he went ahead and published this on August 3rd, a little bit before. He says, a brief history of the white nationalist movement. I apologize for this Gubu interruption. And Gubu, when I'm accused of something by the goat dancers, if there's any substance to it at all, it's my policy to issue one definite statement of the facts. After all, if anyone is not satisfied, they can go commit an unnatural and anatomically impossible act with themselves. This is such an occasion. Hack calls Gubu for grotesque, unprecedented, bizarre, unusual, or something like that. He calls it Gubu, I think it was in Ireland too long. It was too much slimy horse shit. But in any case, he calls them goat dancers because supposedly Klassen had the local county, North Carolina county sheriff come in, and the neighbors were pissed off at these, Klassenite and Whiggers and the rest buggering goats and doing all sorts of stuff with them. So he calls it goat dancers, after the Dionysian ceremony to where they go ahead and sodomize goats and get all drunk and do all sorts of happy horse shit. Anyway, I'm reading Covington. About 4 years ago, if memory serves, a document entitled A Brief History of the White Nationalist Movement appeared on the Internet. I believe it has also been hand-circulated in printed form as well. Now, the thing about it is that this is far more than 4 years ago. But going on, I've been accused by the usual suspects of being the author of this document. This is untrue. Well, not completely true, anyway. The facts are as follows. The lengthy article or small book, A Brief History of the White Nationalist Movement, is divided into a number of parts or sections, each dealing with a particular movement, group, or individual personality in the movement's past. These sections were basically reworked, he has reworked in quotes, and in some cases, outright plagiarized from the written works of a number of movement authors and sources. These include the late Rick Cooper, Louis Beam, Bill White, Brad Davis, the late Andrew McCullen, Willis Carto, several SPLC reports, the DeGallo Report, Gary Gallo, the National Alliance commentator, McGuire. Before my Gary, McGuire was not a National Enquirer, and Hadding was bitching because, you know, McGuire said, tongue-in-cheek, that it was a stockholder's thing. The thing about it is, there was no stock. I mean, William Pierce was the head chief and only owner of it. Fred Streed, I think he was a National Alliance member, and a number of other writers, including myself. Okay? Covington admits to going ahead and reworking some of this material. But the main issue of it was Rick Cooper, if you go ahead and read it. Because Covington goes ahead and quotes large portions of Rick Cooper, then he comes up with a speculation here. The document is essentially an anthology or compilation. Whoever compiled it had access to a lot of dusty old movement gossip and archive stuff, including what must have been stacks and stacks of old pre-internet movement publications and internal newsletters. My own archives are nowhere near that extensive, just a few file folders, in fact. I've moved around too often the past 30 years to be lugging filing cabinets full of research material with me. Okay. Covington admits that he's been putting up another stuff here. Okay? Well, maybe, look. Hattie, you can believe whatever you want about McGuire. I mean, you saying, it ain't true. Based upon what? 10% of it not being exactly, factually correct? Yeah. A portion of it isn't factually correct. But saying it ain't true, I mean, it's just like a pig going ahead and saying, no, I didn't knock out your teeth, Winstead. You tripped. You fell. In fact, Mary is, I know damn well what happened. I was there. I know the pigs lie. What gets me is I've got questions here from people who want to go ahead and say that the Turner Diaries was not used as a blueprint by Timothy McVeigh. And they seem to forget that William Pierce is dead. There's no need to keep making William Pierce a pussy because guess what? He's not going to prison. He's dead. He's been dead for 8 years now. Now you can go ahead and say, well, yes, the Turner Diaries was the blueprint for Timothy McVeigh. You can go ahead and say that. And William Pierce will not lose anything by it. In fact, he'll go ahead and gain strength here. But you have these people say, no, ain't true. Well, hey, believe what you will. But going on, I will say this, though. Whoever put this thing together knew it's movement beeswax. Whoever the unknown author compiler is, he is definitely for and sure an old hand. I used to say I could not spot a single significant factual error in the document, but after a recent flat duel about the brief history, I sat down and read it over again. I believe I spotted one major error. Revisionist author Bradley Smith, referred to as the late Bradley Smith, in the brief history is in fact still alive. I think I'm actually the first person to notice this. Well, Covington, there's another issue with it. I mean, one of the things say that Alex Linder and Trader Glenn Miller are drinking buddies. And the fact of the matter is they're not drinking buddies. I'm quite sure they love to drink, and I'm sure if they get together, they probably do drink. But they live more than just a few miles. Kirksville's at least 280 miles from me, because I know the geography of Missouri pretty well. Kirksville is about, 45, 50 miles away from Fulton in northeast Missouri. And essentially, Trader Glenn Miller is no closer than 240 miles away. So they don't go ahead and exchange spit or drinking or anything like that with each other. They live too far away from that here. I mean, Trader Glenn Miller, he's not going to go ahead and drive 240 miles, drunk all the time and cut down his drinking time to drink with Alex Linder, okay? So there's another error in the latest thing here. And Trader Glenn Miller, he pulled a Hadding on Covington, essentially, said, well, no, we're not drinking buddies. We live farther than 240 miles away, and they do. So, I'll go on, but what I'm saying is that it falls upon me, it seems like, or this generation, to go ahead and write a revised, you know, a not-so-brief history of the white nationalist movement. But going on, other than that, I can't take any major issue with the facts presented in this report. It is damning, it is true, which is why the periodically certain elements within the movement we discovered go into a hissy fit over it. They are adding, go into a hissy, pissy fit over it, which is occurring as we speak. They cannot refute its contents. I mean, you can go ahead and say, no, 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 no. It's not a stockholding company. Well, hey, you go ahead and call up and no, I, you know, it might be. Essentially, if you went ahead and listened to Roy Rage Retard Giles talk to him, they have no idea how it was run. If you go ahead and look at it, I would bet that when Pierce died, Eric Gleybe trotted, you know, went ahead and trotted and became the new special agent or somebody in Virginia. Because usually when you run a corporation, the agent of it has to be, the operating agent of it has to live in the same state. I found that out with the Church of Sons of Yahweh. You have to have a special agent living in Ohio. And the same way with the Church of Jesus Christ Christians / Aryan Nations of Missouri. You have to have the special agent live in Missouri. Now, I tried to be a special agent when I was in the nut house. They wouldn't let me do that. They had Roxy be the special agent. And as a result, I have not changed her being the agent. It's headquartered at 338 Rabbit Track Road. It's a public benefits / religious non-public corporation. There is no stock, but on the other hand, there could be. You don't know. I could issue out 100 shares and give me 100 of those shares. And so could William Pierce. McGuire was simply going ahead and going tongue-in-cheek and explaining, just like, you know, just like Robert Friends was, that William Pierce is no revolutionary. He's a bookseller. He's a businessman. He lives off the bio movement. He sells trinkets. He's a patriot. P-A-Y-T-R-I-D-I-O-T. And that's pretty well what Catcher Lane told me. See, having wants to go ahead bits and Catcher Lane told me is that sooner or later I would get tired of Covington's lies. And I went ahead and resent her an email and said, what do you mean by that? She said, well, sooner or later you'll get tired of Covington's lies. And that's what she said. Lewis Beam would not talk his shit about anybody except Terry Glenn Miller. Lewis Beam hates Terry Glenn Miller, but you got to expect is that when someone's trying to go ahead and send you to prison for the rest of your life, have you murdered in a dog prison, you sort of get tired and you sort of get pissed off by rats like that. You know what I mean? So, Lewis Beam, from my gather, doesn't really have anything bad to say about anybody other than Trader Glenn Miller and anybody who associates with Trader Glenn Miller. Okay? Regarding my unwitting participation, I concede, I'm getting back to Covington's letter, I concede that the section on Glenn Miller was lifted almost entirely in toto from an article I wrote called The Affair Glenn Miller. That is a lot of class material, although not all of it, is either plagiarized directly from my past writings or reworked from my stuff, and that the Huey Long section is plagiarized from me as well. Well, nobody bitches about what you wrote about Huey Long, because Covington liked Huey Long. And what happens about all the old white guys like Huey Long, but most people don't know a dang thing about Huey Long other than what they heard about Huey Long, and most people don't like Huey Long. They like him marginally better than Adolf Hitler. The thing about it is I remember the late affair Glenn Miller, and I'm going to go ahead and update what Covington writes about traitor Glenn Miller. I don't know very much about class in there, but I do know my creatards. And you have good creatards like, James Von Brunn and Mike Mazzone. I still like Mike Mazzone. I actually like Corn Cob. Because they, they're religious, fucked up in the heads, just written by some damn Jew, self-hating Jew, who went ahead and told Anglo-Mestizos and Wiggers to worship themselves. So, no, I don't have much use for their little bullshit, dead Jew on a dick horse shit. But some of the creators actually have a set of nuts here, and you end up liking them here. I mean, Jimmy Von Braun was actually a bigger friend of Pastor John Britton's than mine, but we used to exchange emails, and, Jimmy Von Brunn has a sense of humor. And what happens, he didn't give a hard time to Christian Identity people. And neither does Mike Mazzone. Mike Mazzone has his own little thing. I think Mike Mazzone's somewhat nuts. And Corn Cob, I think, is definitely nuts. But, they probably say the same damn thing about me. Anyway, who cares? I have no idea who did Zack Ryder compile a brief history of the white nationalist movement. Well, who wrote it was Rick Cooper. I know special men who could have done it, but they have the requisite background, access to archives, or people who do remember, and expository skill to write up the report. However, I have no evidence that any of these men did write it. Well, Rick Cooper did write it. And what happens is that, from what I gather reading it, it was investigated in 1985, because that is the date you see on it. I don't see the date of when it was published, but I would not be surprised if it was published within a year or so when Rick Cooper was digging up the dirt. If I had to conjecture, I'd say it was most likely someone closely associated with National Alliance, unknown to me, but that isn't just an educated guess. No. Rick Cooper. The world now has a truth, and as such, it's the Spartan, part of that world that gives a rat's ass. What you do with that truth is a matter of complete indifference to me. Okay? Well, Hiding, if you know what McGuire meant, you can go ahead and ask McGuire. No problem. No problem. Look, Hiding, the truth of the matter is that you're a flack for Pierce and Matt Cole and the rest of them here, which is okay. Don't mind the fact that you're a flack. But going ahead and saying, it ain't true, 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 and I'm not going to believe it. Well, hey, that is not going to get you very far. Not going to go ahead and get you very far. Well, you can go ahead and say it is here. The thing about it is that Klassen was altogether a dodgy character. And if you're in, the thing about it is Tony Alamo is not actually within the bar movement. See, this thing that, pretty well is being written about, it's altogether concerned with the bar movement. It's not concerned. It's not concerned at all with somebody who is not in the bar movement, like Tony Alamo. Tony Alamo is just bail priest here. Nobody would really give a crap what someone went ahead and wrote about any of these people other than. The thing about this is that from what I gather, I'm going to go ahead and come up with a revised one here. If you guys want to go ahead and come up with your own convention or something like that, the way to go ahead and do it is just like when Rick Cooper went ahead and wrote. Is that if you have a problem with that, you go ahead and you state your objections. You state your objections to it here. And from what I gather, none of these people took Rick Cooper up on their offer. Now, this DeGetto report was far worse than what Rick Cooper wrote. Far worse. I was reading some of it here and had the Gerhardt brothers. And I've talked to John Gerhardt and his brother. I think his brother has pretty well gotten out of being the legal arm of the resistance. But the fact of the matter is that nobody in the old resistance has any use for Trader Glenn Miller. Only Alex Linder does. Only your VNNF Targs do. And why do they have to love Glenn Miller? Because Glenn Miller goes ahead and gives them money. That's why there needs to be a revised edition, because essentially the brief history of the Bowel Movement don't have anything about Alex Linder other than the fact, which I think Covington did go ahead and write, about the bulletin forums here. But the original thing written by Cooper if somebody knows when it was written, when it was actually published, and I'm guessing that it was published, his the dates named here when he's looking at all these homosexuals, it was printed. It was printed in, it was investigated in 1985. Having essentially your portion of no ain't true, no ain't true, no ain't true, no ain't true, no ain't true. I'm saying that probably Covington is quite being honest, is that he's admitting that what authorship he had of it here. If you go ahead and read the original, Cooper, I'll just call it the Cooper Report. But if you read the original Cooper Report, from my gather, it was investigated in 1985. And Pierce and everybody else was given a chance to deny what was said in it. And they couldn't. Now, this is 17 years before Pierce dies. This is around the time that Pierce gets money from the order. And there is no doubt that Pierce got money from Bob Matthews. Hell, his biographer, while Pierce was alive, went ahead and printed Pierce loved Bobby Matthews. Well, shoot, he should. He gave him $400,000. And the fact of the matter is that I've talked to a number of people in the movement, the old resistance. Now, they end up calling the old resistance the resistance between 1979 and 1984, between the Greensboro thing and 1985 was pretty well the order. What happens, what I call the old resistance, is the pre-Waco resistance. Because, well, hey, if this thing was printed in 1985, the thing is, the thing's 15 years old. I think Rick Cooper went ahead and printed his NSD on paper before the internet. And then what happens, Covington goes ahead and he sees this stuff around 2002, 2003. And then he adds his stuff to it. And I sort of think that, what I'm going to do, and this purpose of the show, is to say that what is needed is a revised and not so brief history of the bowel movement. Now, in the case of white nationals, they define it as a non-religious thing. And as a result, they cut out what is really the best and most important portion of the bowel movement, which is Christian identity. And I do need to go ahead and talk about Visser. I need to talk about Sci-Fi Fava. I need to talk about Hal Turner. All the stuff which has not been covered. Why in the world, what was Butler's mistake? Butler's mistake was going ahead and bringing in all these skinheads and all these vermin. And as a result, you end up having these criminals coming in and pretty well eating out the above-ground dual seed line Christian Dane Church. And as a result of going ahead and reading this flap, I've decided that what I'm going to do with the AIT course is I'm going to go ahead and go back to Bertrand Comparé and reprint the Bertrand Comparé material in the AIT order, even though there is no copyright, really, on the AIT material, and come up with it in a PDF book, and then come up with a workbook and a teacher's edition at the back so that people can understand basic dual seed line Christian identity. See, the thing about it is, this character, little meerkats like Hattie, will say, not true, not true, not true, not true, not true, not true, not true. And what they'll do is they'll ignore. They want us, and just like Roy Ray's retard was telling Hattie, you want to throw out because you end up having something written by Covington that you don't like. You want to go ahead and throw out the baby with the bathwater, and the bathwater is dirty. Granted, it has a bunch of turds which are not true, but on the other hand, you don't throw out the entire baby. So looking on it, probably, the person to go ahead and write a revised, not so brief history of the white nationalist bowel movement, it's me. Now, Hattie, if you want to go ahead and get on my forum, to put your P's and Q's. It ain't true, it ain't true, it ain't true, it ain't true. Well, you go ahead and you do so. But if you don't want to do so, then you go ahead and bark and bark and bark with your little head spinning like a little meerkat out of a Floyd-Rage retard's butthole for all the good it's going to do you. But it ain't going to do you a damn bit of good, okay? Well, Hanning thinks he's sort of like a little Jesuit. And the story about Jesuits is that a Jesuit can go ahead and claim that they murdered three Protestants and a dog on a Friday, and then on Sunday they showed the dog. You know what I mean? And says, hey, the whole thing is not true. That's what they say about Jesuits here. You're going to say that also about Wigger Meerkats. Is that, it's not true, it's not true, it's not true, it's not true. The thing about it is that just like Rick Cooper said, is that sooner or later, since a lot of these people were dying, is that pretty soon that Rick Cooper's report will be what is known. And the only thing that is known. Okay? In any case, like Rick Cooper said, if Eustace Muller and Matt Cole and this lawyer got away with sodomizing and raping some farm kid in New York, if he went ahead and got away with that, and there were no charges making, then there wouldn't be a court file on it. Rick Cooper actually looked at it, and Rick Cooper went ahead and says, hey, look, you guys have a complaint about it, you come to me. You come to me and bitch. The thing about it is, Hanning, you don't know what Rick Cooper didn't know. You want to claim that he did. And it's just like this here. You know, Hanning, you have your chance, just like Rick Cooper gave everybody, Pierce included. Cooper died in 2006 of kidney disease. But my dad, when Cooper was writing this, he was in his 40s or so. And pretty well what he called the clique. He called it these people who just lived in the pre-internet age off of money. Money, 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 so they would not have to get a job. Now, what the DeGello report said rather harshly, you know, just like Rick Cooper said, it was a mixture of truth and lies. Now I read portions of the DeGello report. Kurt Saxon, and I think Kurt Saxon has died recently. Kurt Saxon, really, you shouldn't say that he was in the, Kurt Saxon really shouldn't be mentioned in the white nationalist movement because Kurt Saxon actually didn't have anything good to say about the white nationalists. He certainly didn't have anything good to say about Christian identity, but he was around with them. But Kurt Saxon was a bookseller. And Kurt Saxon was quite honest about that. In fact, he didn't last very long at Republic Radio selling all this, survivalist crap. And the reason he wasn't, he told people that rather than pay $50 for a bushel of wheat, stacked in a plastic bucket with nitrogen and carbon dioxide pack, what you do is you go down to the feed store and buy a whole bushel of wheat for $5. That's what I did. That's what I did about a week before Y2K hit. And I thought, well, shoot, Y2K hits, I'll have 10 bushels of wheat. I paid $50, and shoot, that they weighed. See, a bushel of wheat weighs 53 to 56 pounds. 53 to 56 pounds, depending on how much moisture and dust it has on it. And it was fairly dry wheat. It was soft wheat. I have had to wash it. But, hey, I was making plenty and plenty and plenty of bread in my bread maker from just one bushel of it that I'd bought, a couple of years before 1999. And I figured out, well, shoot, if Y2 Chaos does come, I'll have plenty of wheat bread to make into wheat porridge and to make into bread. and it's soft wheat. We'll go ahead, and I'll just have a whole bunch of whole wheat to eat. The Y2 Chaos comes. I have a rotary grain mill, Corona grain mill that I bought from Kurt Saxon for $50. Hey, I'm good to go. Okay? Well, the thing about it is I looked his webpage is down. Okay? Kurt Saxon, real name Don Cisco, federal informant. Well, how long he's a federal informant? I mean, you read his books here. You can go ahead and hear what he thought about the white nationalism, Christian identity. You read his webpage. I mean, I don't see anybody going ahead and seeing old Don Cisco or Kurt Saxon going to see, hey, Don, I hear you don't like us. Kurt, I hear you don't like us. I mean, I actually talked on the phone a couple of times with Kurt Saxon. Kurt Saxon was never anything but polite to me, but essentially I went ahead and bought a grain mill from him. I bought a book or two from him. Kurt Saxon sold stuff. He really wasn't a white nationalist. So that's why he shouldn't even be mentioned in the old white nationalist, because, hey, he didn't really have much good to say about white nationalists or Chris said daddy. So if I talk to him, what am I going to talk to him about? Answer? Nothing. Other than, hey, Kurt, did you get my $50 for the grain mill? Yep, yep. Did you send it out? Yep, yep. Okay. Are you doing okay? Yep, yep. All right. So I don't know if Kurt Saxon was live or dead. He had his webpage up, still listed, but last month, he couldn't go ahead and get to it here. So I don't know if he's dead or not. His webpage is down last I checked. I'll go ahead and check. Kurt Saxon don't really belong in the bowel movement. John Gerhardt? Well, John, you know, his brother really isn't into it very much. He just takes messages when you call him. What John Gerhardt does is he works. He goes ahead and he writes a newsletter. And essentially, there's nothing good to say about Trader Glenn Miller and anybody who associates with Trader Glenn Miller. So if you associate with, you know, Alex Linder, John Gerhardt has nothing good to say about you. Now, is John Gerhardt a homosexual Jew? Hell no. That's what the DeGello report threw. Well, hey, the DeGello report, in many cases, full of shit. But some about what they write about how some of these people are dishonest. And Metzger pretty well pointed the same thing, is that David Duke wants to play it both ways. He wants to say, oh, I love niggers. Well, he's talking to niggers. He come up with this crap about protect yourself, nigger, against the evil white man, and then he wants to go ahead and have a bunch of money. Look, David Duke is a crook. David Duke is a crook. And I didn't hear from Rick Cooper or anybody else. I heard from a member of the old resistance that David Duke is despised for selling secret membership lists to anybody who'll buy one. And that's what it used to be in the old internet age here, is that people would steal the names of the stuff in order to sell them trinkets. That's what the bomb movement used to be before the internet age. Now in the internet age, you end up having a whole bunch of wiggers with mod dick or something like that. Nobody wants to go ahead and actually pay any money for any of this stupid crap. I mean, you can go ahead and be a fairly good bookseller, and you can be a resistance, you know, member here. But you got to figure out who you want to serve, God or Mammon. You know, Pierce. Pierce was mainly a bookseller. He got $400,000 from the order. He went ahead and just admitted that he spent $90,000, you know, playing for his farm. And probably Eric Levy went ahead and looted whatever the hell was left of it. And he ain't supporting poor old Wigger Squirrel no more to chase down Harold Covington. If you go ahead and listen to it, I urge people to go ahead and listen to what Judas Roy Ray's retard child says, because Judas has no idea what he's talking about. He goes ahead and he blunders. And you learn quite a bit of stuff here. Now, of course, Judas goes ahead and he checks IP numbers. And one of my sock puppets have already been kicked back here. But, shit, if I was to register as Pastor Winston, I'd join his tard corral, sure as shit. Bill Hadding, I mean, if you want to join my forum, well, you can go ahead and do so, and I won't probably put you in my tard corral. You know what I mean? Well, what happens is they used to sell a Corona grain mill here. I mean, what it is a stainless steel grain mill that's nickel plated. And if you go ahead and you go through about three rounds here, and you take a aluminum sieve here, you sieve out the bran. You sieve out the bran because the bran doesn't really have anything to go ahead and do anything here. Now, what happens, the bran ends up having the wheat germ too, but mainly it goes ahead and you grind it for the flour. And the thing about it is you can go ahead and grind it rather rough, but you also get rid of the bran. And the bran essentially is just nothing more than fiber. And if you really have to shit, save the bran and eat about a couple tablespoons of it. If you want to lose weight, go ahead and soak it in some water and then drink that, bran water. And essentially, it'll fill you up. And what happens is, just like Dennis O'Leary says, that when you get done with it, you pass Elvis through your colon. You know what I mean? Elvis had gone ahead and done benefit, more bran, you might live longer. But yeah, I mean, you go ahead and you buy your hand-cranked grain mill. Well, that's the best thing to do. If you're a real survivalist, don't pay $50 at Retard Radio, for wheat berries. Costed $50. Buy, go to the feed store and buy you a bag of corn, whole corn, and buy you a bag of wheat. And what I like to do is get me some barley. And what happens is really go ahead and drink cheaply. You know what I mean? Anyway, the thing about it is that no, there's no need to go ahead and do it here. But anyway, the thing about it is, how do you have to call in? If you want to call in, you can call in. You know what I mean? Zog knows who the hell you are. Zog probably knows who you are by going ahead and listening to this podcast. One of the things I've gone ahead and speculated is that the reason that I haven't been kicked off the talk show is that the Jews and the ADL and the FTLC and the FBI and the ADL and Liability Clueless. I mean, it's sort of pathetic when old Liability Clueless shows up like he did last, Thursday, and plugs the pisser's pussy palace. Please, please, please go over there. Well, the thing about it is, I had a number of spies and Zogbots and all the stuff that, real mean stuff they say about me. You can't go ahead and read it, even if you're a registered member, unless you're a certified or certifiable pisser possum. They sort of got sort of paranoid. Now, is Zog able to read this shit? Yep. And Henning, they know where you live. They know where your little chihuahua lives. And they're going to get you and your little chihuahua, too. Not me. If you want to go ahead and sign up to my forum and bitch about how much I'm lying about Pierce and poor old Benny Buttflat Clausen, you can go ahead and get your 2 cents in here. But it's just like they say, the dogs may bark, but the chairman, it will continue. So anyway. Kurt Saxon, I hope the old geezer is alive. But shoot, he must be, about 70 or so by now? Now, Flying Gator's lived pretty hard last, so I don't know. I was wondering, I thought the reason his webpage is that he's croaked here. I don't know for sure if he has or not. Hattie, if you know, you can go ahead and tell me that, okay? If the crazies outside the government to worry me, well, like me, I guess, here. Look, Hattie, I mean, that way lays Trader Glenn Millerism. Not Trader Glenn Millerism. Well, that way lays Hal Turnerism. I am spying for Zog because you have all these crazy Netzoids here in the bowel movement. We're going to go ahead and destroy our wonderful Zog. That's why I got to spy on the bowel movement. That's why I have to be a rat. That's why I have to be an Asian provocateur. To have these people call in and talk about killing federal judges. And then what happens is I got to go ahead and encourage them to come in with this crazy shit here, so I'm going to go ahead and talk about killing federal children. The only difference between, Bill White / Weiss and Hal Turner is that Hal Turner decided to go ahead and cause loss and just admit being a rat. that's why he's gotten, you know, that's why he's gotten two trials here, and he's had a third trial, which Zog goes ahead and threatens him with. As opposed to Bill White. See, Bill White's problem is he pulls the same shit, but Bill White sort of thought that his pear-shaped ass, I mean, he was a super Nazi trooper. He can go ahead and threaten nigger women, and he can go ahead and threaten some little bank clerk in Kansas City, Missouri. And that's why I went to prison. That's what they really got him on. Now, they did get him on this Jew lawyer from Canada, but hey, the federal judge, once he got what he wanted, he decided to go ahead and trim off the fat off the case, and he did so. Think about it as a wonderful bowel movement is, most of these characters playing at this game are Zogbots. And think about it as you go ahead and look at it, I mean, William Pierce got to do a whole bunch of shit that he shouldn't have been able to get away with. And that's why he went ahead and gave it to old Gleeby here instead of somebody like Billy Roper. Anyway. I don't know. You'd have to go ahead and look at TalkShoe. I don't know. You'd have to go ahead and look on TalkShoe. I have no idea if you can go ahead and call in the Skype or not here. But hey, if you want to call in, you can call in. But I called in last Thursday. If you want to call in, you can call in. You know, the thing about it is, Hattie, is that, shoot, you have a little bit of sense. It's just that you don't use it. You're an intellectual. You've been educated. For my girl, you're about my age. I'm 52. I'd say you're about what? In your late 40s or so? Not married? Have a chihuahua? Live for the bio movement. Live to be a nice little creator. Take Christianity. Think Christianity's going to go ahead and keep you from supposedly something you don't want to do. The fact of the matter is, creativity is a Jew-made religion. What happens is a Jew went ahead and turned it from worshiping the Jew, and he became a self-hating Jew, so he went ahead and turned it into worshiping Anglo-Mestizo Uyghurs. The fact of the matter is, a lot of creators, they're not even white. I like Wiggersquill's white. I mean, I looked at old Trader Glenn Miller's picture. Instead of a rat, I'm going to go ahead and take that old cork-eyed brown, drunken Anglo-Mestizo's last picture where his liver spots seem to have grown and show, hey, this is a mamzer. Why did some of you stupid Christianity people follow this worthless bastard? Why? What's it going to accomplish? You see, folks, this show is dedicated to the warlords, to my 10,000 warlords. It's not dedicated to these bowel movement retards who have screwed the pooch thoroughly. What William Pierce accomplished is that he wrote the Turner Diaries. He wrote Hunter. But what he did is he tried to form a membership organization where anybody could join. People like Tom Martinez who went in and betrayed the order. The thing about it is, my entire thing is to go ahead and turn Christian identity into a white man's racial hate religion and then encourage 10,000 warlords to use Christian identity to exterminate 90%, during this Great Tribulation, 90% of the Uyghur population, all the Jews and the Mamzers and the rest here. You see, we don't go like Hattie and say, I'm so much smarter than you. I'm an elite. Why? Because Dr. Pierce, he liked me. He wrote me a check. I was a good little Uyghur. And what happens? I love Uyghurs so much because he was president of the William Pierce Fighting Club. I'm in cosmetology. And what happens? Well, I did not believe in cosmetology because, hey, all it was just a little way for William Pierce to try to get a tax scam. Only Wiggerswill has actually believed in cosmetologists, so Adam Wiggerswill is the only known cosmetologist, but I believe in creativity. I don't want to worship a dead Jew on a stick. I want to worship a dead Jew on a dick. No, I am Jew here, Jew here, Jew. No, I am second, because that would make me a Jew in a second lover. Oh, can't have that. So we're going to go ahead and nitpick. And McGuire said it was a stock-owned corporation when McGuire was just going ahead and said tongue-in-cheek. The thing about it is that what was going to happen to William Pierce's National Alliance was predicted even before William Pierce died. It was predicted that within 6 months, National Alliance would implode. And what happens is having stuck with it for maybe a year, maybe 6 months, I don't know how long he stuck with it, but he worships. What was been here, and it was only in Hattings and Wiggersville's and a few other little National Alliance retards minds here. That's all it was. But just like Bill, you know, just like Rick Cooper, hey, if you want to go ahead and challenge what I'm going to go ahead and write in a revised, not so brief history of the white ballot, you know, white nationalist ballot movement, the only way you can go ahead and have any, you know, your thumb in the pie is to go ahead and, you know, come up with something competing to it. Saying, no. We ain't going to have it. We ain't going to like it. Ain't true. Liar, pacifier, hang your nose on top of the wire. That shit don't cut it. Because the thing about it is that having suffers from the same thing about every little Jew from the ADL and the rest come. You know what I mean? It just boils to, well, hey, we ain't going to have you saying this, but we're going to go ahead and try to drag you down with nothing. Fact of the matter is that Pierce would not respond to Covington because Covington, he wouldn't go ahead and let Covington go level with him. So as a result, now Covington goes ahead and he writes about Pierce. But from what I gather, anybody who goes ahead and looks is that William Pierce got $400,000 from the order. Because pretty well that's the figure that most people give. Most people in the order. You have some people getting out of the order. Few people, you know, and by the way, these people who are out of the order, one of them, a man named Kemp, who was not an order rat, he's siding with Harold Covington. Scutari, he's siding with Covington. Evans, he's siding with Covington. A lot of these order people were Christian Dandy. And they hate Trader Glenn Miller. The fact of the matter is that, shoot, you can't get along. Nobody in the new resistance will get along with anybody from the old resistance if you have anything to do with Trader Glenn Miller. You support Trader Glenn Miller any chance here. And if you go ahead and support an informant, and Jim Giles is an informant, he admits, you know, it's not what Martin Lindstedt said, it's what Jim Giles says. If you go ahead and you write to the federal prosecutor dropping the dime on somebody, even when you didn't need to, there was no subpoena involved, you're an informant. It doesn't matter how you justify being an informant. Lindstedt, Trader Glenn Miller. You hear about what happens to these order rats. I went ahead and took this $250,000, and what happens is that, oh, shoot, they ruined my party by me taking this money here. They should just giving me this money here and not said anything here, and they ran on me. Well, no. You declared war on Zog. You got caught. You decided to go ahead and turn. And from what I gather, from what is heard, they didn't have to torture you. They didn't have to put you in jail for 15 months like they did poor old Mongoloid. You turned within a day because you were suffering from withdrawal syndromes. You had to have some whiskey. So you got the whiskey. And then you ratted. You ratted and you ratted and ratted. And then once you got done ratted, unlike all these other traitors, you're the one who came back, who insists, I need to be a leader. I should be in a leadership position. And anybody I support should be in a leadership position. No, it don't work that way. Once a traitor, always a traitor. That's just the way it works. You say, it ain't true, man. It's not a stockholder corporation. It's untrue what McGuire wrote. What McGuire wrote is that, hey, National Alliance is a Zog false drug, which is pretty well what everybody understood. The only difference is at least among Christian identity. We don't go ahead and say, well, you can't say that about the Reverend Dr. Bob Millar. He was not a federal agent. Well, shit, he was. I'm sure he was. You see, unlike these National Alliance tards, we cut our slack here. Whenever we see somebody who isn't what he should be, like Jeremy Visser, like Brian Wright, like a number of people, like Sword Mancer. Well, I'm just suggesting 315 hits are built in between white man and the Mancer. If you don't belong in Christian identity, we will run you out. We will identify you as a Zogbot. So that's the difference. When David Wayne pretty well said, hey, Martin, you need to go ahead and denounce Dan Gaiman for writing, for taking money and then writing on us, hey, no problem. But the fact of the matter is William Pierce took money from the order. And the FBI knew it. And rather than go to prison, and rather than keep his own National Alliance intact by giving to somebody who would probably run, do it a whole lot better, like Billy Roper, he gave it to Eric Kluge. He gave it to a drunken bully boy. And then Alex Winder, well, hey, Alex Winder's cut loose. And just like Wiggerswell said, well, we got rid of the rest of the National Alliance people. Well, no. Hadding was one of the National Alliance people, so I guess now that old Hadding, for whatever reason, has to find Edgar Steele guilty. Why? Because Hadding is so smart. Hadding's the smartest little critter that he's going to say that Edgar Steele told Cindy to lie. Well, look, folks, if you say the same damn thing that Zog says, what are you if not a Zogbot? What are you except nothing more than a traitor who's repeating the same lies that Zog repeats here? At least with Covington's lies, as you call them, Covington is 100%, well, mainly in favor of Covington. But the thing about it is Covington's not a rat. You see, if Covington had gone ahead and testified and turned a rat here, there would have been no way I would have been able to align with him here. Covington has his own problems here. And, yeah, sometimes Covington does not tell the truth. And I've been burnt a few times by Covington. But the fact of the matter is that what I have with Covington is an alliance. What Covington is doing, essentially, is he's running his own 10,000 warlords program. What he's trying to do is he's trying to get his warlords up to the Northwest with him to go ahead and fight a local war against Zog. Well, fine, Covington. I don't care. Why should I mind here you doing something that I recommend for Christian identity people? Now, me, I believe, being Christian identity, I believe there's going to be a great tribulation coming. So that's why I don't have any fight. That's why nobody within Orthodox Christian identity is going to go ahead and fight with me, because the disagreement I have with the real Christian identity people is how much does the white man leave to Jesus Christ, and how much does the white man do for himself? What I recommend here is that there be a war with Zog, there be a civil, racial, religious war with Zog, so that Christ does not have to do the heavy living, but rather that he picks up here, and that we go ahead and earn our salvation as a white man through disposing and taking care of our own Whigger trash and our own Whigger vermin, and also the Jews and the Mamzers. So as a result, no genuine dual seed line Christian identity minister has anything against me other than say, well, Martin, maybe we should let Christ do a little bit more of it. Okay, well, you go ahead and you pray and you pay, and you do your own thing. What of it? Is there any disagreement? Well, yeah, there might be disagreement, but there's nothing to fight over. I'm a political pastor. I believe in political action. And by that, I mean, well, occasionally, I'll go ahead and run for office or try to run for office. And one of the things I'm going to do is that Roxy went ahead and got confirmation that she won the Libertarian primary for presiding commissioner. And what I may do is I may go ahead and see if all these wiggers who want to go ahead and give Trader Glenn Miller his little doomed thing here, if they want to go ahead and send me some money for Kill the Pigs Now Political Action Committee, for me to go ahead and buy advertising saying it's perfectly okay to torture pigs, to geld their sons, and to rape their daughters, and to take all their money and pour Edgar shit on them. That is my idea. My idea is to go ahead and go with the flow of history. The smartest thing I heard 2 weeks ago from all the squares was, "We're all going to die, Charles Martin. We're all going to die." If you're going to go ahead and be a defeatist pussy, then be a defeatist pussy. What are you doing in the bowel movement? What are you doing in the bowel movement? If you think you're going to lose, why are you here? Why are you spreading this horseshit? That's what gets me. Is that Pierce didn't actually do anything. I mean, shoot, 8 years after Pierce is dead, you have some characters like Henning. William Pierce never advocated violence here. He was not supported of Tim McVeigh. Tim McVeigh never read the Turner Diaries. What happens is that Tim McVeigh, you know, he did his own little thing. He was all the other lone wolf, had nothing to do with William Pierce. William Pierce, well, was a man of peace. William Pierce, he hated black shit. William Pierce actually loved niggers in jails. What happens is that, shoot, they, you know, he actually loved the FBI. He went ahead and wrote a book about the FBI being blown up, but he actually loved the FBI because the FBI let him keep $400,000 and sent him to prison because he was working for the FBI. I mean, if you want to go ahead and say that, that's fine by me, because pretty well that's what I'm saying. We're in agreement, actually, Eddie. We really are. Whether or not you want to go ahead and admit that. All your convincing and all your pissing and your moaning don't change that fact. In any case, think about this. Somebody went ahead and said, what does the SDLC have to do with some of this, you know, with some of this stuff? And the fact of the matter is, the SDLC monitors white nationalism. Now, in my case, they've always spelt my name right. And that's why I sort of suspect Wiggers will. They always spelt my name correctly on May 11th, 2005, when they were accusing me of being a big sex pervert. Okay? But the fact of the matter is, the SDLC monitors everything. I have no doubt if they're not, you know, they probably aren't on this call. And if they are, they'll probably pretend to be one of my buddies. The chances are, I have no doubt that they're downloading the TalkShoe thing. I mean, pretty well, I've been able to go ahead and look, and the initial thing was up from about 80 or so, 60, 80, and then it went up to 100, and then it went up to 120, and then recently it's up to 150 people, 150 downloads. And as a result, I have no doubt that the SDLC and the Jews, the FBI, and I'm sure Liability Clueless and the Pisser Possums, they go ahead and they download it. And since they're so freaking paranoid now, even if you're a registered member, you can't go ahead and read it unless you're a certified Pisser Possum. Okay? Because I've had a number of people sign up, and they tried to get on. And their IP numbers are different than my IP numbers, and they're telling me, hey, I can't get on, Martin. I can't go ahead and read their little purgatory or hell threads. Okay. All right. No big deal. Essentially, they might as well be exchanging email for all the good does them. Whereas what I'm writing, everybody goes ahead and looks at. Fact of the matter is, as long as you people do nothing, you're going to go ahead and be marching behind those of us who do something. That's just the fact of the matter. You can't change that. Can't change that at all. What happens, just like Rick Cooper, Covington comes clean and right, you know, identifies what he mainly wrote. He mainly wrote about Trader Glenn Miller. The thing about it is that, yes, you end up having people like Louis Beam coming up and saying a few things about Trader Glenn Miller. the Covington where they had incorporated into it. Fact of the matter is that, hey, Pierce accepted order money in order to keep from being put in prison. He acted like an FBI observation post. You have all these little wiggers.
Oh, my God. You know, these freaking maniacs. We got to inform on them because, oh, no, they're going to destroy our precious song.
And that way leads Hal Turnerism. Hal Turner went ahead and said pretty much the same thing. I went ahead, I was actually a little neocon, and I went ahead and went to the FBI and offered to be a nation provocateur and provoke, you know, white nationalists. I'm not a white nationalist. I hate white nationalism. But we have to go ahead and keep an eye on these freaking maniacs. And before Hal Turner, we had some people, most people don't understand. If you go ahead and look at my webpage, you have somebody called Ed Wolf, who I call Ed the Dog. And then once he admitted that he was hiding a federal FBI snitch named Ken McWilliams, he said the same thing. It's to keep freaking psychos like you out. You know, out. Same thing with, you know, Red Mike Vanderkuyk, or Red Mike Vanderbilt. Essentially what they are is that they sense, just like Zog does, just like the Jews does. Because what you have is that you have a mountain of chaos coming. Kurt Saxon, from which I derived a lot of what I think about it, says that the problem isn't an efficient police state. It isn't order run amok. What it is it's disorder run amok. As all, every nigger, every beaner, every mamzer, every wigger is seeking to survive in a collapsing multiracial empire. And that is what's ended up happening. I read the books by Martin Van Creveld, who's a Jew, and Bill Lind, who is not, about fourth generation warfare. And what we're doing is, you know, a rise in, you know, if you want to go ahead and read something, don't read so much the Transformation War, where Martin Van Creveld was saying is that, hey, these $60 billion fighter bomber planes are worthless against the Vietnamese or the Iraqis or everybody, the Afghanistan, you know, Afghanis. See, the fact of the matter is that you can't control anything that happens on the ground from the air. All you can do is kill and murder. And yeah, you can kill a whole bunch of Afghan civilians, women, men, women, and children. And that's what ends up happening with this WikiLeaks thing, to where essentially all Zog's doing is murdering men, women, and children. Innocent civilians. And then thinking they're going to go ahead and control the hearts and minds of people. Zog has not learned a damn thing from Vietnam. There is no sense to this Afghan war. There is no sense to this Iraqi war. All it's being fought for is big Jews and big oil. This war is not winnable. Sooner or later, people will get tired of it. And because of this WikiLeaks, they went ahead and showed recently, during the last week, something that they have not shown for a long time. They showed actual casualties with actual soldiers coming back without arms and legs and nuts and eyes. Killed. Not even showing killed. They're showing them all here screwed up and how they're getting the best of attention. Well, guess what? I remember when I was in the jail. Here's this guy. He ends up getting his both legs shot off. And has he got a pension from the Veterans Administration for what he lost? No, he's begging people to take pity on him so he can buy a cup of coffee here. Well, guess what? Zog is not treating his little wiggers, not treating his little Mamzer soldiers very well, which means that, you know, go to shows, you go ahead and join the Zog's armed forces. You're playing a little game of Prussian roulette. Not even Russian roulette. The way Zog got 5 out of 6 chambers locked up, and Zog goes ahead and he twists the cylinders, and Zog squeezes the trigger. And if you get screwed up on the sword of the Iraqis or the sword of the Afghanis, tough shit, boy. Tough shit. yeah, we'll make a big deal about going ahead and, you know, fixing you up here. So, you know, separating you from the service so the body count will be low here because, well, guess what? He must have died of his wounds, but he was no longer a soldier, so therefore it don't count in the Afghan body count. That's the sort of crap God does. So as a result, nothing is going good for Zog. Things are falling apart. And every single day, the economic news gets worse and worse and worse and worse. You want to hear, first time ever, this year, the Social Security Trust Fund will not run a surplus because you have all these baby boomer wiggers deciding they better retire at 62 before the retirement age gets knocked up to 70. They might as well get what little they can while it still exists. And as a result, first year ever, that little trust fund won't have enough to go ahead and steal. That's what I heard in the news tonight. There is no sense in being a Zogling, and there's no sense in being a Wigger. Anyway, yes, old Hattie, he's just such a nice little meerkat. He's just trying to clean up behind y'all, behind old William Pierce, the bookseller. Why do you people believe this stuff? The thing about it is that, you know, somebody's bitching about me, you know, making up a rumor. The thing about it is, Hattie, if you want to go ahead and you want to fight the rumor, you're going to have to go ahead and sign up. The thing about it is, though, is that, shoot, at least I'm not an informant like old Judas Giles is. Judas Giles always has your IP number here. He gets annoyed at you after he goes ahead and card corrals you with old Wigger Squirrel. Why, he can go ahead and probably send in your IP number to Zog. You know what I mean? So why are you worried more about me than old Judas Giles? And the answer of it is Judas Giles repeats your horseshit, you know. Your horseshit. What happens is that you ought to be mad at the gut sick weedle weasel Jew ass cancer like Wiggerswill is. But the fact of the matter is all you loveless little meerkats and all you loveless little solipsoids, you have nothing to say. Nothing to say. Nothing intelligent to say, anyway. The fact of the matter is as time goes on, you're not going to be able to accomplish anything. Not that you ever have accomplished anything. Never have accomplished anything. In any case. Well, see, somebody talking about the SPLC. The SPLC, you know, comes up with what they call their little intelligence report. And what they do is they monitor this shit. And they go ahead and they read what, you know, they write here. What Zog writes, and they go ahead and they print their own little twisted thing. Sometimes you end up getting the facts, but it's twisted. You know what I mean? You're not working with Giles at this point? Well, I know. You little meerkats and all you little, you know, self-lovers, you can't go ahead and work very long with anybody. You know what I mean? What William Pierce gave, you know, little meerkats like Hattie is that he told them they were special. Told them they were a national vanguard. Now, from what I gather, I wouldn't be surprised if Pierce went ahead and borrowed from Rick Cooper's National Socialist Vanguard. He decided to say that he was a national alliance or national vanguard. But you end up having all these people like Kevin Alfred Strom and Wiggerswill and all these people who really can't go ahead and work together at anything. And you get them together, and you tell them they're special. They're special. They put the special behind special education. They're special. And they believe this stupid horseshit. They really do. And once they believe this stupid horseshit, you just can't do anything with them anymore. You know what I mean? The cream of the crop. Yep. They're the cream of the crop. They're sort of like, they're sort of like the cream of what Julian Lee has in a mayonnaise jar in his refrigerator here. You know, the rancid spunk rises to the top, and now that mayonnaise, I was at Sam's the other day, and I was surprised that mayonnaise is, you know, Miracle Whip mayonnaise is better than $8 a gallon at Sam's. Did you know that? So, what happens is that I guess Julian Lee might have been all right here on, you know, frugal living with Julian Lee. You know what I mean? You know, it's better than frugal living with Marcus, you know, Martha Stewart. Frugal living with Julian Lee. But in any case, you end up having these critters show up. And what happens is that William Pierce gave him a paycheck. William Pierce, you know, there's a book written in 1995 by Raphael Ezekiel or Ezekiel Raphael or something like that. He was a Jew, and he meant to be a Jew. And of course, all these movement leaders, they wanted to go ahead and be in a book. I mean, they looked at better bad publicity than no publicity at all, even from Jews. And he wrote about Richard Butler and Tom Metzger, and it's called The Mind of a Racist. And pretty well, they were talking about, you know, during the forced sedition trial, about pieces of shit like Trader Glenn Miller, who was, I'm not racist anymore. I disclaim this stuff. I never was this sort of thing. I was just acting or something like that. He said, you know, call Trader Glenn Miller total scum. But then they said, you know, or Bob Miles did, along with, you know, Butler. And what they said is that we work with the losers. Not the winners, but the losers. And the fact of the matter is that Hadding, you know, in the natural order of things, along with Jim Giles and the rest, they're the losers. They hang around this bowel movement, and even if they aren't traitors or something like that, they're just loveless mantoids. You can't go ahead and convince them anything because they believe. In fact, among these atheists, and these agnostics and these solipsists, sometimes you see far more faith than actually exists in, you know, in Israel, within Christian Israel. Jesus Christ went ahead and remarked upon this quite a bit here from this Canaanite woman, who he ended up calling a dog, but ended up killing their daughter, and from this Roman centurion. They say that I've not seen within Israel. Well, hey, some of these solipsists, they actually become true believers. You can't tell them nothing. The thing about it is, Hadding probably knows that he has nothing really intelligent to say. All he can do is post a number of mod dick things here on your, you know, Judas Roid Rage Retard Giles' webpage. The thing about it is, old Judas, he wants to go ahead and take part of it, but you go ahead and listen to what he says. And Judas reminds me of this guy who, he can read, but he can't read very well. And I was pointing out, I said, well, you know, to one of my friends, I said, well, why in the world, he's a smart fellow, he got a fairly good business turning all this scrap lumber that isn't worth a crap into these buildings and selling it at the lumber yard, all this third-rate, cut-rate lumber. And what they do is they go ahead and cut it where it has a knot or something like that, where it has a flaw, it can't be sold. He goes ahead and cuts it, uses bracing, and he creates these little storage sheds. They're, what, 4x8, 8x8, 10x20, you know, as high, you know, big as, you know, nearly 8x16, whatever. They sell for several thousand dollars, far more than the price of actually those first-rate lumber. But he takes this second-rate, third-rate lumber, and he goes ahead and turns it. And what happens? He made a fairly good living. Now, he had his wife and he had his children. He had about 8 kids. And what happens, me and this friend of mine were talking, and he come across this old girlfriend of his, and they had a fight, and then they were getting all lovey-dovey with each other, and I said, what are they seeing each other? And he said, well, he's hard and she's wet. And I laughed my head at that, you know, they're probably inept. I said, what is with this character? He's smart, but, you know, I mean, he can't stand to read anything very long. And he says, well, what it does is that he's a product of the education system. And what happens is he can't really stand to read anything very long. It literally hurts his head. And same thing with Judas Roy's Rage Retard Giles. I don't think that goofy bastard has ever broke a textbook since he got out of Sorbonne. And you got to wonder, how the hell does this character get to Sorbonne? He's not exactly an intellectual. He's more like Forrest Gump. You'd expect this guy to go ahead and be a graduate of Ole Miss through the football system, you know, because that's what Judas Roy Rage Retard Giles is like. And he wanted to go ahead and take charge of this, you know, great history of the Bible movement. And the thing about it is, having had been smart, he'd have gone ahead and made himself indispensable. He'd have gone ahead and written this revised history of the Bible movement. As it is, I'm going to go ahead and be writing some, and I'm going to go ahead and be talking about, you know, bringing up Christian identity in many cases. And Hadding won't really have anything to say about it, because really he doesn't have any dog in the fight. And the thing about it is that Pierce will go ahead and take his lumps, just like he did when Covington reprinted what Rick Cooper said, when Rick Cooper investigated what the DeGello report said. But actually, if you go ahead and look, the DeGello report is far more critical than anything that Rick Cooper wrote. The DeGello report said is that, hey, these white nationalist clowns are nothing more than con men, Jews, and homosexuals, or Jew homosexuals. And, I mean, it just, and just like Rick Cooper says, it's a mixture of lies and truth. What happens, what Rick Cooper came in, is he actually went ahead and studied this thing. He went ahead and he dug up stuff, and just like then and there, the Bible movement didn't want to go ahead and reveal its open secrets, what was really known, because they didn't want to go ahead and have a whole bunch of other Bible movement retards and their followers. You know, they didn't want to stir up a shitstorm. But Rick Cooper pretty well said, and I'm pretty well convinced this came out in paper somewhere in the late 80s, a good, 5 years at least before the Internet came up. And then, as a result, Covington went ahead and reworked it, added some by Terry Glenn Miller, and added a good deal about old Benny Claflin. And Hadding didn't really say anything about Pierce, you know. I guess Hadding is sort of like Roy Rage Retard Giles. He don't like to read either. But the fact of the matter is that all Hadding can say is that it's not a stockholder corporation. Well, I didn't think it was a stockholder corporation. It could be. Because just like that lady said, you know, his aunt, whatever her name was, he wanted to call her aunt something, Alice, something like that, said is that we don't pay attention to the financial aspects. All we expect is that you list who the board of directors is and who, you know, who's your registered agent. For example, last month, I went in and sent in $20, and I have my Church of Jesus Christ Christian Aryan Nations renewed, not for 1 year, but for 2 years, until August 31st, 2012. Don't have to dick with it for another 2 years and a month or so. 2 years, another couple weeks. I'll probably renew it for 2 years, and by then it'll probably be for 4 years. In the case of Ohio, Church of the Sons of Yahweh, 5 years for $25. That's a better deal than Missouri does. Missouri is $10 a year if you go ahead and register by that. Which is a better deal than California. I mean, like I was telling, is that Wesley Swift's church, or an original incorporated church, was owned by a cousin, Pastor John Britton, and he died in 2005, so here, me and John Britton and Morris Gillette are having a conference call in effect here as to what we're going to do. And the fact of the matter is that nobody wanted to pay $200 to go ahead and renew Wesley Swift's charter. So pretty well it just went ahead and died. And folks, I'm not going to tell about everything I've gone ahead and found out about the charters and these movements. I mean, I could go ahead and cause a good deal of trouble over it. The fact of the matter is I don't want to go ahead and have wiggers and mamzers get ideas about how very easy it is to go ahead and incorporate a church and how to go ahead and it's easy to go ahead and block somebody else from using a particular name. I went ahead and seen this character named Marveling Panky pull this crap in the 90s, and as a result, that's why I learned to, hey, go ahead and get a brand on what you have, unless you can do pretty well whatever the hell you want to do. I mean, I got a lot of these people who spend thousands of dollars going to a seminary, whereas I already got ordained. I'm an ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ Christian Area Nations of Missouri. Not only am I a pastor, I'm an archbishop. How do you like that? So, in any case, what it cost me, $25 and then $10 a year. Let's see, it was registered in 2006, so let me see, I'm at 25, 35, 45, 55, 65, 75. I'm out, I'll be out $75 with all said and done, maybe a little bit more. Sometimes I went ahead and sent an actual check instead of renewed it online. Mine out $75, $80. That's $100. Fact of the matter is that William Pierce's church could be a stockholder. But what ended up happening is that I bet if I went ahead and looked at it, I'll find out that in 2002, probably by August of 2002, Eric Glebe ran like a little... fleet of feet, maybe in July, maybe a day after William Pierce croaked off, that old Eric Glebe went ahead and made himself the president of the National Alliance, Incorporated in Virginia. What do you want to bet? What do you want to bet? In any case, well, of course, Giles checked it out, and that's what the Virginia, well, not Virginia governor, Aunt Alice told him that here. She worked as a clerk there. Look, Annie, you act like you're the only one who actually listens to Roid Rage Retard's programs. I listen to them. By the way, Hadding, whose idea was it to delete the link to the, to the July 31st broadcast where Roid Rage Retard says, I'm not a white nationalist. Fuck white nationalism. I'm not your brother. I'm here for me. I'm an egotist. Was that your idea or was it old Roid Rage Retard, he ain't too smart. He's like the kitten who consistently shits all of Noam and still goes ahead and acts like he wants to scratch some leaves or twigs over his shit. A little Noam here. Oh, Roid Rage Retard is none too smart. Was it you, Hadding, who got rid of the July 31st setting here? Were you a good little meerkat, told him to hide his shit? You can tell me on the chat. Okay. Well, yeah. So, Hadding, the thing about it is that if you're a little zoggling meerkat or you're just a little quigger meerkat. You know what I mean? Does it really freaking matter whose meerkat you are? Whose little meerkat? The fact of the matter is that the people who are doing things will do things here. The people that, Martin, you're going to cause so much trouble, you're going to go be set in prison. Well, I might. They might torture another grandchild. The thing about it is that you can't go ahead and live with fear. Now, if you're going to be a man who makes your mark, Not if you have any ambition. Tyson, I remember I took an English literature course here and didn't really want to, but I actually learned something from him because I actually read a book like Jim Giles. Actually, I like reading books. That's why I didn't do much of anything yesterday, but except lay in bed and read books. Oh, by the way, for those people there, I bought me an MP3 player, and it has all sorts of stuff. It's a SanFuse something here. And it got ways of going ahead and recording stuff in MP3. It's sort of like a digital player. It got 4 gigabytes of stuff here. And pretty well what I've been doing is I've been listening to Covington's podcast, and I've been downloading a few of my own and trying to go ahead and become a better podcaster. And I will try to go ahead and get YouTube, and I'm going to go ahead and try to get Area-Nations-Missouri up and put a number of these podcasts with me and Covington, and maybe a few of even Road Rage Retards, podcasts up. You know, especially the one of us, which he likes hiding here. Anyway, Hattie is a model of a major meerkat. You know what I mean? Anyway, Hattie, you still ain't answered whether or not you were the one who told the Road Rage Retard to remove the July 31st, 2010 broadcast, the first 8 minutes, especially the first 8 minutes. The rest of it, you have old Road Rage Retard, essentially, he pretty well hid out for 3 days. He pulled a pisser possum on himself here. What happens is that he decided to lay low for 3 days, and he came back, and it was like he was a guilty little possum when he came back. None of his old piss and moan vinegar. No, none of that here. Anyway, Hattie, you want to go ahead and admit that you're the little meerkat that went ahead and did that? Okay. Well, he says he did not. Okay. Well, maybe the Road Rage Retard that did here. So, Hattie, are you still the Road Rage Retard? Are you still the Road Rage Retard's little meerkat? STILLRRRMEERCAT. Okay. Come on. Oh, did I mess that up? Okay, that's why I asked. Are you still this meerkat, Hattie? Are you going to say, I am not? I've emerged from the Road Rage Retard's bunghole and decided to seek my own little fortune. I decided to go ahead and find better colostomy bags to lick here. I'm still looking for the great Pierce's near the old colostomy bag to lick. I told you, okay, all right. Well, I hear you, Annie. I hear you. And I'm not really offering you a job as a meerkat, if you get on Christian Nationalist. But on the other hand, rather than just piss and moan, about what me and Covington are saying, you can go ahead and get on. And by the way, the thing about it is that I can't let Wiggerswill on my forum. And the reason I can't is that, hey, Covington and Wiggerswill, they're not allowed to have contact with each other. And since I want, I'm allied with, Covington, I really can't let Wiggerswill on there. Now, occasionally if I see some Wiggerswill, real good Wiggerswillery, I go ahead and, have my Wiggerswill, Tennessee Wiggerswill sock puppet go ahead and say something. But, can't allow Wiggerswill. Wiggerswill is the only one who is banned for life even before he got on here on Christian Nationalist. Now, when I get PastorLinstead.org/forum up there, Wiggerswill is not banned from PastorLinstead.org. Okay? And once I get the blog up, the forum and up there, Wiggerswill, he can go ahead and get on PastorLinstead.org once I go ahead and get it up and running. Okay? But Wiggerswill, he's not allowed on Christian Nationalist, okay? But you are. You are, okay? Yeah, I am just... Boy, you're saying things to tell you. Adding, you don't hold me accountable for anything. Well, I'm the only way you go ahead and hold me accountable is you get to cheer. You get to go ahead and cheer a Christian nationalist that I'm full of shit and I don't know what I'm talking about here. You get to say that here. Now, doing a meerkat dick post here, that don't mean a whole awful lot of things. You gotta go ahead and actually work on a little bit here. But the thing about it is that really, Hattie, I mean, I think you are the best. I think you are the best meerkat in the business here. You know what I mean? I think you're smarter than Barty China, the Linda Miller meerkat. Not as well, but smarter than Barty China. And I'm glad to hear that you've decided, after a week or so, to seek your own fortune away from the Roid Rage retard. Anyway, oh well, hell, this is degenerating into the meerkat, you know, the Roid Rage meerkat, you know, meerkats, Roid Rage retards, meerkats, woman's, you know, what the hell is the problem here? I remember reading a book. I never read it here. It had old sheep face, Meryl Streep in it here, the French lieutenant's woman. And, shoot, I was a kid then, and it was such a big book. And I think old sheep face Meryl Streep starred in it. I don't know what the hell it was about here. I mean, all I see was all these coupons. He ended up having all these Whigger women. Females reading this stuff, and but anyway, yeah, I'm glad to hear that you're no longer the Roid Rage retards, adjutant's meerkat's woman or something like that. Okay, anyway, all right. Well, anyway, but I think we're gonna spend enough time on the meerkat. Anyway, Hattie, if you want to go ahead and join Christian Nationalist here. Go ahead and sign up as The Real Hattie, and if you want to put an avatar or something like that, because I have a Hattie sock puppet already there. So in any case, if you want to go ahead and sign up as The Real Hattie, you can do so. If you don't want to, well, hey, that's fine with me too. But anyway, Covington, he just thought, you know, like Rick Cooper, just pretty well said, if you don't want to go ahead and believe what I say, well, hey, you can stick up your ass if you don't like it. It's about what boiled down to. Although Cooper, he wasn't that crude, and Covington wasn't that crude, but I'm pretty crude. Anyway, my idea is that I'm going to go ahead and cover Christian Identity and a lot of what happened before, you know, Roy Butler made a mistake. Essentially, in opening it up to all these skinheads and these other losing, you know, losers, and pretty well shutting down the original church of Pastor Wesley Swift, which was a family-oriented church. Now, was that good for the church? And the answer of it is, I think it was actually the best thing which could have happened for the church, but didn't do Butler any good. But what I'm trying to do, essentially, is create a 10,000 warlords program, and what I'm trying to do is bring up the one seedbinders who have pretty well become laxed religiously. Now, this guy who called in, he ended up having a whole bunch of, you know, he's proud to be an Irishman. He's proud of his Irish heritage. You know, but he believes in the Trinity. He believes in ever-burning hell and probably purgatory if I went ahead and pressed him. And I told him, I says, look, it doesn't really matter. I just sort of think it's your little inherent hybrid nigger trying to go ahead and get out, and I really can't go ahead and blame you. But the thing about it is that if you're a dual seed line pastor, you're supposed to believe certain things. You're supposed to go ahead because they're dogma. You're supposed to believe certain things. A lot of people have been, complaining about the newer people, some of the older people from back east, who they think are bringing in new heresies because they don't like the Comparean view, which is pretty well set in 1967. So what I've decided to do is I've decided to go ahead and go back with the AIT and insofar as possible, get the original Comparean sermons and put them together in a Word, you know, first in a Word article, which is downloadable, and then later in a PDF, and then seek to go ahead and print to order the Comparean sermons arranged in order for a correspondence course, a.k.a. the AIT, which Mike Callimore does not have a copyright on. You know, judging from what I've gone ahead and talked with William Fink and actually Clifton Emmeiser. Essentially what it's going to be is going to be pretty much Comparean, and then if you end up having some Emmeiser caveats, that will be added. And then what I'm thinking of is having, you know, pretty well like Mike Callimore offered to do and hasn't been able to do since 1997 very efficiently, and not at all in the last couple of years or so, is to have a question, you know, to have people, you know, have a question, you know, period after that, and then after a page or so, a teacher's edition to where the answers are given. And pretty well let that be the very first step in my way of upgrading all these little one and two and three family Christian identity churches which have lapsed into Sacred Name and Preterist and all this other, you know, Ephraim Scepter and all this other happy horseshit, to go ahead and get them to dual seed line Christian identity, standard orthodoxy, as pretty well worked out by the late 60s by Bertrand Comparean. And then the second book would be pretty well what I call dual seed line, you know, the Aryan Nations Handbook or dual seed line Christian identity for Uyghurs. So essentially, the first book that I want to go ahead and come out will be mainly editorial. Well, my function will be editorial. And the fact of the matter is that it's not, you know, it's not for me to go ahead and look after money. I'm going to go ahead and have a Word edition of it, which everybody will be able to download, a la Covington. And this is one thing that I really like about Covington, is that Covington isn't a greedy bastard. Now, some of the things about it is Wiggersville's trying to go ahead and get money, and one of the things is that Covington has done is that, hey, you can go ahead and download my books if you want for free. Here's the website. You can go ahead and get a PDF version of it. You can get a Word version of it. And same way with me. I'm not out to make a whole awful lot of money. I got enough money to feed me and Roxy. Roxy got her own money. The thing about it is I'm trying to be of service to Christian Israel. And what I'm trying to do is pretty well take the fact that Zog is falling apart. Zog is going to die. And there is going to be a great tribulation. Zog murdering me tomorrow, or putting me in prison, or, you know, on trumped-up charges, you know, pulling an Edgar Steele on me, or a Mongoloid Hardy on me, or this kid named Spencer. That was Covington's latest thing here. And the fact of the matter is, Covington's absolutely right, you know, but then again, just like Lawson Starr said, is that a confident system, don't go ahead and throw people in jail, you know, just like did the Spencer kid for writing a poem in 2007 about a sniper, you know, shooting a nigger, who really wasn't president then. Nobody thought would become president. Everybody thought Fuller was going to become president, remember? I sort of thought the bitch was going to become president. Even after the Super Tuesday in February, I thought the bitch was going to become president. Fact of the matter is, I'm sort of glad the nigger became president over the bitch and that senile piece of shit McCain, because hey, now the niggers become president here, everybody knows what a screwed up mess niggers make of it here. Heck, last week was the nigger's 49th birthday, alleged 49th birthday, and you end up having old David Letterman, talking about how the nigger don't have a birth certificate, you know what I mean? Everybody knows the nigger's fraudulent. The fact of the matter is, getting back to Covington, does any good thing come out of Aryan Nations? Well, I don't know. If you want it, you can send Paul Moore $25. $10, he'll make you a general or a colonel or a captain or a major or a corporal or something here. I guess it depends on how much money you give him here. I went ahead and called this guy in Ohio, asked him about Gillette, and, making quite clear that, shoot, Gillette wants his Trish back, me and John Britton, we'll give it, he has it back. John Britton will give it back to him in a heartbeat. Well, we'd be pretty pissed off here if he goes ahead and goes with Pisser and Brian Wright. But as far as sending $25 to Aryan Nations here, why do that here? Why do that? Just go to the webpage. If you want to go ahead and do some literature, go ahead and print off a few of their things. But, shoot. Paul Mullett, it would probably do him some good if he were to do some work for a change. And certainly don't give it to Gerald O'Brien. He's a sci-fi Faber. Sci-fi Faber and the Pisser, they're sucking each other's dicks right now over on Pisser's Pussy Palace. Joe O'Brien, if you're going to go ahead and send anything to, any Aryan Nations factions here, send it to Paul Mullett here over in Ohio, because at least Paul Mullett don't cause as much trouble as that old Gerald O'Brien here. But I don't send money to any of them here. Don't send money to me. Don't send money to AO. Don't send money to Paul Mullett. Don't send money to Gerald O'Brien. But if you're going to send money, if you want to play Aryan Nations, if you want to be a corporal or a captain or a major general or whatever, or go send to Mullett, because Mullett, at least I don't have any real fight with Mullett. Why, from last I heard, they want to spend $5,000 so they can buy 15 acres in Tennessee. And if you want to go ahead and deal with create tarred rabble, at the little party ground, why, you go ahead and do so. It's just a matter of time for more Steve. Poor Steve finds an excuse to go ahead, take that little property here, because some little skinhead beat up something here, said some unkind words to a nigger or something like that. Poor Steve takes it here. He waves it around like a trophy here, like, stealing somebody's rowboat or whatever. You know what I mean? The Church of Jesus Christ Christian Aryan Nation of Missouri, its total assets are $0.00. There's nothing for more of these to steal. Nothing. Maybe one of these days I'll go ahead and buy me some landscape timbers and whitewash them and put a cross on there and maybe transfer the house across the street at 330, the hovel at 337 across the street, into a church here to screw Newton County and the city gravity out some property taxes. But I don't know. I may not do that. Who knows? Anyway. Anybody is, you want to go ahead and send $25? Can you have $25? And but I recommend you go ahead and you go ahead and save the $25 and then the $10 per month fee here, and you buy you two bricks of 22 ammunition over at Walmart. That's what I'd recommend you do. You know what I mean? That's what I recommend you do. That makes far more sense than anything, than any other stupid shit you might do. But in any case, what I'm saying is that one of the things, that's pretty well what I have planned, along with that here. See, the thing about it is that every week, Thursday was pretty busy, so I had a special program, and I may try to go ahead and have a program on Thursdays. Start at 8:00 Central Time and give people a chance to go ahead and listen. But what I try to do is I try to have, every Sunday I try to have this show right here, and pretty well there wasn't too much going on other than Well, the main thing that showed up is old Hardy Lloyd. I found out about poor old Mongoloid getting, 30 months in prison over some stupid bullshit. Mongoloid sort of brought most of it on himself. You got to admit that. And essentially, Mongoloid, he ain't that really smart here. I mean, he claimed to have a 200 IQ, but his two psychiatrists says he really has about maybe a 95 or 96 IQ of that. You know what I mean? Which is still smarter than Liability Clueless. Speaking of which, Liability Clueless don't seem like he showed up any at all. But one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and put up the DeGello report, and then I'm going to go ahead and put up the original Cooper report, and then I'm going to go ahead and make my own little changes to the revised history of the bowel movement. Now, what I've done is I've taken the thread started by Harold Covington, and what I found out as a forum admin is I found out that essentially you go ahead and you update the thread, you get more and more and more people looking at it because that's what they want to look. The biggest thread on my forum is the movement turd. But you end up, you end up having like the history, the V Bulletin, forums. Essentially what Giles did, a week or so ago, is he did the same thing that Linder does and Don Black does and all these other people do. They go ahead and they shit on the people who they can. See, white nationalism is supposed to be about racial brotherhood, but it's not. It's all about these little wiggers and mamzers, each trying to show how superior they are by means of screwing other people up. That's exactly what it's about. So I'm going to go ahead and, on this thread, a revised, not-so-brief history of the white nationalist movement, is I went ahead and took a thread and put it at the very start. And I'm going to go ahead and put the DeGello report and the Rick Cooper report, original report. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a revised, not-so-brief history of the white nationalist movement. We're going to cover Christian identity. We're going to cover Christian identity from Wesley Swift, which not very much is known about. And I'll try to go ahead and ask John, Pastor John Britton, because he knows more about it than I do, because actually he lived in the last years of Wesley Swift. His dad was ordained by Wesley Swift, and his Uncle Newman, of course, was. And we'll go ahead and then cover Richard Butler. And then we'll cover what I know a little bit more about. We'll cover what happened just before Butler died in the last years of the Senescence, with August Christ, with Dan Gaiman, with Rick Spring, with Jeremy Visser, with the rest of the Rick Spring faction, and the August Christ people, from where sci-fi Faber comes in. And then we're going to go ahead and cover what is going on within Christian identity. And Hadding won't have anything, because, Hadding don't have any idea what he's talking about. Thing about it is, if you go ahead and you see your typical creatard, it don't really matter. I mean, everybody who sees a creatard ought to know they're bad news. And I'm going to go ahead and cover what's going on in the white nationalist movement. I'm going to cover in Trader Glenn Miller. I'm going to cover Alex Linder. I'm going to cover Sperm Front and Clint Downey's portion in it, and a little meerkat, what happened on Holy Wars. So, yeah, the thing about it is it's time that, people should understand what is going on in our bowel movement, our little thing. And just like what strikes me in 1976 under the DeGello report, it happens so much like today. You end up having a whole bunch of people, a couple thousand, spending money on the days before the internet on all those trinkets and all this paperwork and all these bowel movement cures. And the moment that any of them got dangerous, like George Lincoln Rockwell, they were murdered or imprisoned or whatever. But my view, and the only people, you know, the only other person I see in this bowel movement of ours who has at least a portion of vision is Harold Covington. And his program essentially is sort of like the Christian Identity program that I'm doing. I'm doing the 10,000, you know, let Zaw collapse, you know, warlord thing. Harold Covington's doing the national, the Northwest Front thing. And essentially what Covington's doing is he's doing a scaled-back version of what I'm proposing. What I'm proposing is that a civil war, a great tribulation is going to happen throughout the entire bowel movement, just not the Northwest. What Covington's looking, he's looking for his, well, not 10,000 warlords, let's just say 1,000 warlords. He's looking for his 1,000 or his 100 or however many warlords and looking to take advantage of the collapse. And this collapse is inevitable. And it's very close. It is very close. It's closer probably than any of us look. It's so more thorough that nobody knows anything about what, you know, the awful things that's going to end up happening. So as a result, because what Harold Covington proposed, what Christian Identity says is going to happen, the reason of it is we can go ahead and be allies of sorts. Because whatever Covington, you know, what Covington, you know, plans is actually just a 3 or 4 or 5 state thing of what I see happening all across the Zogland, of things falling apart, and of local white warlords and petty Hitlers coming to power, offering the Uyghurs, as things collapse, order. Order among the chaos. A national socialist and a religious order. And pretty well what I'm saying is that Christian, dual seed line Christian Identity is the racial religion, the racial hate religion, white nationalists here. And the days of whining like a pussy that, oh my God, the white man is being treated worse than niggers, oh! Woe is me, we're doomed! That day don't mean shit anymore. It's not accomplishing anything. Folks, it never did. You know what I mean? The thing about it is that what I'm saying is that if you don't want to go ahead and listen to Covington, you don't have to. You don't have to. If you don't agree with Covington, don't read his stuff. Actually, most of the time, Covington hasn't posted on my bull forum since, March or so. Covington's found out, just like I have, is that in order to go ahead and generate a good deal of interest, you end up having to have a podcast. A podcast to which you do not deviate. Now, Covington went ahead and asked his membership, you ought to have a second show. A lot of people said, no, you're not going to double your audience. And nobody actually believes you're going to double your audience by having a second podcast. What you do, what I advise Covington to do, is keep this current podcast, which takes a good deal of time to create. I imagine it takes at least 5 or 6 hours of steady work for Harold Covington to create a one-hour-long podcast. What I told him he ought to do is have an extemporaneous podcast to where what it takes me is about 15 minutes. I have an idea of what I'm going to go ahead and post. I go ahead and post it about what this show is going to be about. And it takes me about a half hour. To go ahead and prepare for a 3-hour podcast. Most of these shows last 3 hours. Okay? Now, I'm going ahead and getting technically up to date. I've had to go ahead and find out a number of things about MP3 files and how to convert them as a result of playing this MP3 player. And actually, when it comes down to it, it is actually quicker and easier than the one that's based on CDs. Plus, it's a 4 gigabyte, whereas opposed to CD, you know, CD holds what, 640 or 700 megabytes of RAM, and the this little thingamajig holds 4 gigabytes, and you can go ahead and use it. You can go ahead and use it for. I haven't figured out how to play videos on it. Well, I have figured out how to play MP3 files on it. And I have figured out how to convert MP3 files to, you know, to 32-bit, which is good enough for my ears. And, yes, as time goes on, this podcast will improve technically. And I might go ahead and get me a second podcast. Well, I think Carol Cubson is going to do the same thing here. As time goes on, we're going to end up having, that's the next thing I end up having planned, and I've had it planned for the past year and a half, is a Christian Identity News Network. To where you end up having these podcasts and some of these videos put on to where people can go ahead and see them and download them and look at them. So it doesn't really matter what YouTube does or what TalkShoe does or anybody else does. See, Harold Covington right now is independent altogether at TalkShoe. I'm not altogether independent, but I'm working on becoming independent. The thing about it is that right now TalkShoe is working quite fine for me. At least it is tonight. I mean, I got a better thing there here. In any case, people are looking for something new and something different here. And at the time, and you know, just like Hattie, he had to have adult supervision, so he became Pierce's little meerkat. Then Pierce croaked off, leaving no provision for the support of his little meerkats, and they drifted away. You know, from fearless leader to fearless leader to fearless leader to fearless leader. Now, does Hattie have in him, you know, something to go ahead and be a leader? No. Otherwise, he would have become a leader by now. He had done something other than just run his little baby blog. Fact of the matter is, in our little bowel movement, there's less than a dozen first-rate names. And a lot of them, like David Duke, are crooks. A sperm front is sort of like the Branson of the racialist movements. You end up having your has-beens and you have your never-wases. Essentially, what they do is they go ahead and ban everybody who doesn't toe their little party line and kiss their ass and play up to them. Where do you end up having? Where do you end up having the most dynamic ability to change the most order is among Christian Identity places like myself and, you know, like Covington's doing. What happens is that poor old Judas Roid Rage retard, what he was good at was doing interviews. And he scored some hilarious ones here. But then he got a big head. And what I got to laugh at is him buying a V-Bulletin for him. The poor goofy bastard can barely read and write. He can barely read and it hurts his little brain. And he can't write worth shit. So essentially, assembling a bunch of meerkats don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing. Now, getting back to Edgar Steele, from what I gather, I don't know, he's probably going to end up maybe having a trial, maybe not. Oh, by the way, Trader Glenn Miller supposedly sent $667 of $2,000, a third, to Matt Hill's mother. And what happens is that, shoot, you take money from Trader Glenn Miller, you end up getting sullied by it. You end up getting sullied by it. Don't take money from Trader Glenn Miller. Because once you take money from Trader Glenn Miller, the old resistance will not have anything to do with you. And neither will the new resistance. You'll be at war with Christian Identity. But hey, these creators, for all their talk about loyalty, pretty well, they're not supporting their their Pontifex Maximus, Matt Hale. What happens is that Mongoloid's wife couldn't trust any of her bowel movement buddies. She's looking after poor old Mongoloid, but nobody else is. Thing about it is, our bowel movement stinks. Our bowel movement don't have any loyalty or integrity or anybody. Because the leadership is mainly shit, and so is most of the followership. The only place that there's getting something done is in some of the aspects of Christian identity who are doing something. But the fact of the matter is, in order to go ahead and present Zogmoth, we must stay underground. And you leaders out there, you would be Hitlers, you would be Stalins, you would be, Mao Zedong's and Pol Pot's. What happens is we have a Uyghur problem, and there is no curing Uyghurs. 10 million white men cannot rule over 150 million Uyghurs, much less 140 million MUDs. All the stupid crap about how niggers and beaners have a right and chinks have a right, this is stupid crap. They're selling papers, through crooked, politicians and the rest to go ahead and squeeze out their little nigglets and their little beanerlets and their little chinklets and their little gooklets and give them American citizenship. And I was reading something is that, shoot, that wasn't what the 14th Amendment was about. What it was about was forcing the defeated Southern slaves to recognize niggers as being United States citizens able to go ahead and vote. Not about freaking, beaner invaders. This is just something that the Jews and the rest come up with as if we got to go ahead and change the constipation. What I would say is that every single one of these Uyghurs, you deport them cocksuckers and their families to Mexico. As they come back, you go ahead and you get shoot them out in the desert along with the beaners. If you want to go ahead and destroy a white civilization, then guess what? You have no part in it. You have no right to live in it. None. None whatsoever. You're worse than a beaner. You're worse than a nigger. You're worse than a Jew. Going ahead and looking upon other Uyghurs to exploit. We have people in Obongovilles, white people, white children. Over in the Osho, they went ahead and had essentially fire 10 pigs and fire 10 fire pigs or more. $400,000 a piece. Now they've got to go ahead and come up with another couple hundred more thousand here. And the fact of the matter is that there's not very much money left at all over in the Osho. Whining, 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 whining. Well, the thing about it is that shoot. If you don't like capitalist Jew, don't have anything to do with it here. Me, I have nothing good to say about capitalist Jew. But on the other hand, I don't have any say in how other Christian identity ministers, like Fink or Eli James, do things. I don't have any say in how they do things at all. And I'd know better than tell them how to do things. If you don't like the way they're doing things, then hey, don't do anything with them here. To the Christian identity people listening here, I'm telling you what I have in mind, and what I have in mind is simply taking the AIT course first, as Bertrand Comparé wrote it, and going back to the original Comparé and, matter, bundling it up into a Word file and a PDF file, putting a cheap cover onto it so the vast majority of you can just simply download the thing. And then if you want to go ahead and answer whatever questions I come up with it here and treat it like a correspondence course, and then if you want to self-grade it, you can go ahead and do it. If you want to go ahead and then probably I'll go ahead and offer it somewhere on a print-to-own thingamajig, which will not cost me very much money. And if people want to go ahead and get a bound book, and if they want to go ahead and send me a copy to sign for, you know, X amount of money, they can do that here. But essentially, essentially what I'm trying to do is get all these small congregations, these one and two and three family, one seed line, mainly congregations, up to dual seed line, Christian identity, Orthodox standard, and Orthodox by the means of what Bertrand Comparé came up with by the end of 1967, 1968. That's pretty well what I want to do. Now, what Delaney and his little Kai Kaplan, who I have no use for, because I'm pretty sure them bastards dropped a dime on PastorLinstead.org. And by the way, you can see the PastorLinstead.org page at Aryan-Nations-Mo.org. And also at the above and then /PastorLinstead. Yeah, you know, I'm working on that. So, folks, I'm working on what I can as best I can, as quickly as I can. So, yes, that's what, you know, that's pretty well what I'm doing for the Christian identity portion of it, is that I am working on that. The problem of it is there's just me. There's just me, and the thing about it is I like doing my garden, and occasionally I like enjoying myself, you know, for what little is left here. And I am working on the Christian Identity News Network, you know, as well. Thing about it is that, on the other hand, I don't really, you know, I mean, it's enough for me to go ahead and fight with overt mamsers and zogbots like Jeremy Visser and Sci-Fi Faber, to where, generally, I don't have the time or the inclination to fight with somebody else who merely associates with people I don't like. They have a right to associate with who they like, and I don't have any say over who they associate with. None. And really, I don't want any. So the fact of the matter is that, you know, I don't tell Bill Fink, you know, what to do. I don't tell Eli James what to do, and they don't tell me what to do. It's been about, what, 2 or 3 weeks since I, talked to or got on, you know, Bill Fink's forum or something like that. So I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. And really, I don't really have any say with what they're doing. The fact of the matter is what I'm doing is that if you like what I'm doing, if you want to go ahead, I mean, that's the main complaint I've heard, is where do we find out about Christian identity? What's Christian identity about? And you end up having all this stuff scattered unless you go ahead and send $100 in to Mike Hallamore. It's all scattered out, and then when Mike Hallamore is not doing a very good job of keeping things up here. So essentially what I'm thinking of doing is just putting it all together, re-putting it all back together to where somebody can go ahead and download it for themselves, or they can spend $20 or $25 if they have to get a bound copy, which is a lot less than $100. And essentially, that is pretty well what I'm intending to do. That is, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to decentralize this church, but also bring it up to dual seed line Christian identity Orthodox standards. And that is what I seem to think need to do here. I'm not interested in, you know, going ahead and talk to a bunch of skinheads about which a third, a little FBI, Zogbots and Mamsers and idiots and trolls or the rest of the stuff here. I got better things to do than waste my time with rejects who really have no part in the House of Israel congregation here. This show, I mean, things got sort of quiet here. I mean, things will probably, in the spa movement, things speed up here, so occasionally I have to do a special program. But this is a numbered program, and this is during the regular hour. And what this thing was about me going ahead and coming up with a revised, not-so-brief history of the white nationalist movement. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and put it up, just a text file of the DiGallo report, and you'll find out that that's a whole lot nicer than what it's a whole lot meaner than what Rick Cooper had to say. I mean, the DiGallo report is a lot meaner. A lot meaner what Rick Cooper went ahead and done. And I gotta admire Rick Cooper, because Rick Cooper, rather than sit and bitch and piss and moan, actually went ahead and interviewed these people, to find out what the real deal was. So what Grouper did is says, well, hey, if you don't agree with it, tell us where we're wrong. And from what I gather, William Pierce, he had 17 years more of life. Well, maybe not, you know, maybe not 7, but he had probably about 15 more years of life. All these other people, David Duke, plenty of time to go ahead and tell Rick Cooper where they were wrong, but guess what? They didn't, did they? Answer, no, they didn't. They did not. And Rick Cooper went ahead and predicted that what he wrote, what he found out in 1985, and probably what he wrote, because I don't know exactly when it was printed, but I'm guessing it was printed in the late 80s and certainly by the early 90s, before the Internet came out. This brief history of the white nationalist movement, it's a lot older than 4 or 5 years, like Covington says. What happens is Covington was, you know, Covington, I think, was sending the thing out before I got sent to Nuthouse. He probably modified it, you know, a little bit in the last 4 or 5 years, but hey, you know, this is not a 5-year-old thing. This was actually written, investigated well before, 10 years before the Internet came along. And I have no doubt that it was printed well before the Internet came along. So it's time for it to go ahead and be revised. It's time for it to be covered quite a bit. And rather than have to go ahead and read some book by a Jew or the SPLC or Morris D, I think it's about time that we defined our movement and what we are doing. And that is the purpose of this show. And it's probably the reason why it's going to stay on TalkShoe for a little while, but I could be wrong. I was wrong about 4 Fag Seeds. I got booted on my ass an hour after the 4th of July was over. I was causing trouble with 4 Fag Seeds, but hey, I thought at least, well, hey, they don't have anybody who's writing anything worth reading except Dale Ragno. Well, hey, I got booted out, so I might be booted out on TalkShoe. I don't know. Fact of the matter is that our bowel movement is dysfunctional. It's filled with dysfunctional people. It's filled with Zogboss and Asian provocateurs. And that's pretty well what was being said in 1976, and that was what Rick Cooper said somewhere in the late 80s. And guess what? It's not gotten any better. It has not gotten any better. In fact, it's gotten worse. You have more Zogboss probably than you did in 1976. Probably far more, certainly after 2001. Old Cass Sunstein, you know, one of the little Jews that are handling, you know, the funky monkey, you know, the funky Kenyan monkey, or funky Indonesian monkey. Him talking about how he's going to go ahead and disrupt Chris, you know, all these white nationalist movements here. They've been doing that since before 1976 when the Nigello Report came out. Jews have been screwing with us. Well, Jews have been screwing with the white man since the birth of Cain, the world's first Jew. And since he was born before Abel, we've had the Jews with us always. Causing trouble, causing shit. Okay? Thing about it is guest state, you know, guest state says I'm concentrated on petty details. Well, that's probably true. But who else is going to do it? Who else is going to do it? In any case, folks, I'm going to go ahead and I think I've given about 2 hours. I don't think anybody's going to go ahead and call. So, I'm going to go ahead and do a quick save. And then I'm going to go ahead and log in. I think I'm going to play the Florian Geyer. And we'll just call it episode number 30 of the Movement Turd. What you heard today was you heard, you know, about Edgar Steele. They're just screwing Edgar Steele like they've been screwing Edgar Steele since day one. From my gather, April Gady had a thing returned. Harold Covington had a thing returned. You know, they're just pretty well dicking with Steele's mail. And the thing about it is, he's in the freaking Ninth Circus here. You know, Washington is in the Ninth Circuit. So they're not supposed to be doing that shit. They're doing it. They're doing it. Gil should have a lawsuit against them, but hey. Well, guess what? Nobody's going to go ahead. I mean, shit. Y'all think it's sort of screwed up when a lawyer can't go ahead and file a lawsuit on behalf of himself here. Ain't that screwed up? But then again, I don't think the Wigger Wimple was ever much of a lawyer. Oh, shoot. I don't seem to be able to go ahead and save anything of this here. Anyway, it looks like I got things. I think so, things I got so things here. Anyway, I covered that just brief history of the, you know, why Nationals moved. It wasn't written by Covington. The vast majority was written by Rick Cooper. Rick Cooper investigated 1985. What was being said about the DeGello report, which was based in the 1970s, probably 1976. And pretty well, the DeGello report is far more caustic than what Rick Cooper went to go ahead and look out and see. And all these people had their chance to go ahead and say, no, it ain't true, Rick, it ain't true, it ain't true, it ain't true. What happened from what I gather, what Rick Cooper went ahead and found, probably burst on like a bomb, and just like a few of the posts I used to go ahead and do over on Pissers when I was pointing out, you know, the shortcomings of Brian Wright. All the little wiggers and mamsers and all the little pisser possums couldn't say a word because they were caught dead to rights and they knew it. And I'm pretty sure that's what happened when Rick Cooper went ahead and wrote it. Covington went ahead and seen it and for his own use went ahead and changed and updated a few things. And you end up having, wah, McGuire's a liar. Covington's a liar. 10% what they write. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. And therefore, we should throw out the 90% that is true. No. No. No, it don't work that way. I've gone ahead and said what I intend to do. What I intend to do, you know, as a result of this, is I've decided, unlike Roid Rage retard Jim Giles, who had the notion he's going to take ownership of the brief history of the white nationalist movement, I decided to go ahead and take some sort of ownership, just like Rick Cooper decided in the 80s, like Harold Covington decided in the early 2000s. I decided for this decade that I'll go ahead and write about the white nationalist movement through the eyes of a dual feedline Christian identity minister, through a true white nationalist, through a resistance soldier like myself. And if you don't like it, well, hey, piss on you. If you don't like what I have to say, piss on you. I've offered Hanning a chance to go ahead and have his part, just like Rick Cooper invited Pierce, invited Cole, invited a number of people, have their say on it, and they refuse.
No, it's not true, it's not true, but I ain't going to tell you why it's not true. I'm going to say it's a lie, all lies.
Folks, if you don't go ahead and do something about it, then you're going to go ahead and have no choice but to go ahead and accede to those of us who do something about it, who do create something about it. You see, an anonymous nothing cannot beat a leadership something. It's not going to happen. Over the years, I've seen every little Jew and every little Wigger and every little Mamzer trying to go ahead and say, no, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. Well, watch us go ahead and do something. Some of us intend to do something. Whether or not you like it or not, don't really mean anything. There's 150 million of you Wiggers, and there's 140 million Mamzers, and there's only just a few white men left. And essentially, the white man is going to go ahead, because he has no choice if he wants to survive, he's going to go ahead and take power as things fall apart. And things are about to fall apart. Zog has turned turned all these Wiggers into Wiggers, and the reason I turned them into Wiggers because they didn't want any white man who would go ahead and save what belonged to them, as opposed to Zog and to the Jews. Well, the thing about it is once you go ahead and you geld somebody to where they cannot go ahead and protect what is theirs, the fact of the matter is they're not able to produce anything either. When was the last time you seen a steer produce anything? Other than meat. And that's all you wiggers are, is meat. You're not able to produce nothing. But the thing about it is your handlers, by going ahead and gelding and, you know, creating all these wiggers who are not able to go ahead and protect themselves against Jews and other thieving wiggers, have also created a class that's not able to produce anything either. So as a result, there's nothing left very much to steal. The white man is pretty well being backed into a corner, and he has no choice other to fight and survive or to bow down and die on his knees. Last time that happened in 1930, 1924, under the Jew Weimar Republic, to where, hey, Germans were starving and their money was worthless here. My grandmother, Ella May Schmidt Winstead, lost contact with her first cousins, the Schmidt. Well, they weren't the Schmidts. Margaret Schmidt, when they had married reserve lieutenant in the Berlin infantry or something like that. So her name wasn't Schmidt no more. But there were some Schmidts and some Winsteads who stayed over there, and they served Kaiser and they served Hitler as well, and they survived. But hey, when it came time to where the Jews had stolen everything, and the German people had a chance of, you know, of dying on their knees or living on their feet, they chose Adolf Hitler. And Adolf Hitler said, hey, the time's going to be rough and we might very well lose, but we are not going to go ahead and go down on our knees to the Jews. We're going to kick them out. We're going to go ahead and create our own nation. And we're going to kick out the Jew capitalists and the Jew Bolsheviks. And what happens is we're going to go ahead and make allies with the Spaniards and the Argentinians and the South Americans and all the white nations of this world and cut them dirty Jews out. And they followed and they loved Adolf Hitler. Was it Adolf Hitler's fault that, unlike 1492 Spain, which kicked out the Jews and there was nobody to keep King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, or Edward I, who kicked out the dirty Jews in 1290, of them dirty spawn of Satan, he had enough of their shit, and so did the people. Unlike 1290, unlike 1492, the Germans ended up having all these Jew-dominated Uyghur nations, the Soviet Union, Soviet Zog, Sod and Winnie's British Empire, to go ahead and gang up on National Socialist Germany. Well, unlike then, the situation is different now, but what happens is that Zog is falling apart. It's not going to be around very much longer. Zog is falling apart. So what do we do? What we do is that we let it fall apart, and we keep in our hearts the racial religion of dual seed line Christian identity. And we be the 10,000 warlords, and we overthrow the house of Ahab, and we go ahead and we exterminate anybody who sides with Zog, and any Uyghurs who side with Zog, and let the niggers and the Uyghurs and the Beaners and the rest kill and murder each other, and then we pick up the pieces. Zog is really, it looks like it's strong, but it's weak. It's a rotten place here, which is falling apart. And if we go ahead and we fight, we will win. Folks, hail victory. But first, let me go ahead and play, like I usually play, the Florian Geyer. And let me go ahead and see where it is. Okay. Poopy Dog, he's just determined to come on in. He has gone ahead and Poopy Dog, he's not, he may be partly a nigger pup, partly Chihuahua, but what happens is that in many cases he's a white man's dog. He's not scared, he don't give up, and he keeps on banging his little paws against the door. And shoot, he's managed to push off most of the barricade here. If he keeps it up, he'll be in on my lap and giving me fleas in a minute. Okay? Let me see. So, what happens is that, you know, folks, you ought to have as much strength and character as one little puppy dog who knows what he wants and doesn't give up until he gets it. In any case, well, here I am, heading towards Florian Geyer. And as I learn a little bit more, I might go ahead and do a YouTube or something like that, an MP3 or something like that, to where you can hear Florian Geyer better, okay? Excuse me. Got to plug the thing in. All righty. Hold on. White and black are we, aye, aye, oh, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, aye, aye, oh. Why they go, we vote home on the city roof let the red cock crow. Why they go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. When Adam dealt and Eve did stand, killing the ice. Oh, who was then the ruling man? Killing the ice. Why they go, we vote home. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. Why they go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. Why can older flies pursuit the Jews are laid low. On the wing next we stop our food. Step out, gusto. Why, mango, we vote ho. On the city roofs, let the red cock crow. Why, mango, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. The chief only love is greed. Aye, aye, oh, the love of God our only need. Aye, aye, oh, why then go, we vote ho. On the city roofs, let the red cock crow. Why then go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. I'll conquer for our cause is just aye, aye, oh. Our sons won't have to go and fight aye, aye, oh. Why they go, we vote, oh. on the city roofs. Let the red cock crow. Why, Mango? Civil war, ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. Hail victory, folks. May Yahweh bless. Good night.